I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, welcome to episode 221 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on June 15th, 2016. My name is Dan Gorman, and you ever see somebody say goodbye to their shoe like that?
Topical. My name is Casey Lyons, and hello, free horsey rides. Doctor's office.
My name's Greg LeGros, and air is beautiful. You cannot see it. It's soft, yet you cannot touch it. Air is a little like my brain.
That's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's a Jean-Claude Van Damme original.
I read a whole bunch of his quotes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be going back to that well for opening quotes frequently.
Amazing.
He says crazy, crazy shit.
Is wise.
We have tons of stuff to talk about this week. Two of us got to pick whatever they wanted to see, while one of us went and saw Warcraft. We will talk about our Punishment album role for movies next week. Get into a little bit of Orange You Glad It's the OC.
Yes.
In our final segment where we talk about the first season of the OC,
yeah.
Orange County. But first, if you'd like to get in touch with us, please do so by emailing us at info@modernsuperior.com. Rate and review us on iTunes, and go tell all your friends about us in real life. Before we get to the show, I wanted to say really quickly, I don't get political a lot on this show, but it's been happening over and over again. America, you need to get your fucking gun control problem.
Oh my God.
In check.
They won't.
They won't.
They
and
fucking
it,
won't because
it is
it's
extremely
all tied
sad.
In to their... insane view of what patriotism means.
It's just
and,
the
yeah. And so and they so it's it means a loss of freedom to them. They don't understand and they no. won't understand. And people are going to continue to die for the
it's
fucking
crazy.
Stupidest reasons. I've been keeping this in. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been trying not to get on Twitter or
yeah.
on Facebook and get on a soapbox about this because I've been finding it very distasteful. But you know, people grieve in different ways, and that's
yeah.
not my business. But I've just been keeping it in, and that's not healthy either.
It's like every time this happens, the Onion runs like something that's just so cutting, where it's just like,
yeah.
oh God, you know, like they did that one that comes up all the time, where it's like Nation
yeah.
that the only place that this happens says they can't believe how it happened or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
That always pops up.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just it's hard to see again and again and again and again and again and again and again. It just
yeah.
fucking happens all the time now.
Yeah.
It's like a normal thing for our world
I
to wake up and be like,
oh another mass
how many
shooting
people
in America.
Yeah.
You know
have
what
been
weirds
murdered?
Me out? And I'm not trying to get all small change here and like inside job, man.
Uh-huh.
But like, you know how the whole 9/11 thing was tied into, you know, Saudi Arabia, and it was
mm-hmm.
like, or not Saudi Arabia, but Iraq,
mm-hmm.
which was weird and cursory, and it was like, well, how do those two things fit together?
Mm-hmm.
They're fitting this in with ISIS somehow.
Yeah.
This guy had some sort of like ISIS. Because
he said the
something.
Words ISIS at some point.
Right.
It's just like, there was a tweet that I retweeted where some guy was like, oh, it's great that like all you need to do to be recognized as an ISIS person by the media is just say it. And he
say
was like, by
ISIS.
That by that account, I'm in the Led Zeppelin. Like,
like that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I mean, but so now America gets to go, this is an ISIS problem, not an America problem. Oh, God, it's
yep.
fucking disgusting. And somebody was like, don't vote for fucking Donald Trump because you'll just get more of this. This didn't happen under Donald Trump. This happened under Obama, who hates guns. Mm-hmm. So, like, this shit still fucking happens. It doesn't matter who the fuck is in there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
No, the country's a mess.
Equality Florida set up a GoFundMe account for donations, and they've raised over $2.2 million already. I want to mention something positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's super amazing, amazing, amazing to see. There's people lining up around the block to donate blood. Got to look at the positives.
Yeah. Yep.
That thing that, was it Patton Oswalt that said it that everyone's been quoting, where it's like, just know that, like, we outweigh them kind of thing?
Yeah.
There's more of us lining up now.
Oh, it's no doubt that the American people are great people, like, yeah, by and large, but it's such a mess.
Crazy.
It's such a fucking mess.
And then something positive, let's thank Simon LaMarche for his email. A super, super amazing email.
Yeah.
Made my week. He took his two young kids to see Angry Birds.
Yeah.
And he was
I'm
upset.
I'm so glad you brought
now
this up.
Mad at
I
Greg.
Totally would have forgot because I don't have my head together today. But, yeah, he was mad at me.
He was mad at you because you didn't mention that they use a Limp Bizkit song.
That's right. Not just a Limp Bizkit song, but Limp Bizkit covering The Who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, to be fair, that is irresponsible.
Yeah.
I know. I should have warned people, but yeah. I try to pretend. Much like when the cover of Behind Blue Eyes, when it came out, I try anytime I hear it to pretend it didn't exist.
Yeah.
yeah, they do use that song in that movie, and it's horrible. And I remember thinking that while I was watching it, and was like, oh.
I feel like that song itself is a really bad song anyway.
I don't have any problem with the original. I'm not into
really
The
do.
Who.
Yeah,
I don't feel two ways about it really, but I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, then Limp Bizkit doing that terrible video.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't remember there being a video.
Yeah, he was like in jail and he's making out with
fellow inmates.
Yeah.
I like all of them.
With the guards. Special privileges.
Yeah.
Behind those blue eyes.
Yeah.
Those a carton of cigarettes
to make out with more guards.
And then he went on to mention that he picked up the first, I don't know if you put the first issue or probably the first trade paperback of Preacher.
Right, totally.
And went back and got more quickly, which is the right thing to do because it's so, so good. And that's so awesome. I'm so glad somebody picked it up and started reading it and enjoyed it because it's such a great comic book series. And then he asked for more suggestions, and he mentioned Constantine.
Yeah.
Yes, Constantine is worth reading, particularly if you read the stuff that's by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon, who is the same team that works on Preacher. Their run on Constantine. There's lots of great Constantine that isn't by them, but the best, by and large, is them. And there's a huge run of it. There's, oh boy, I don't even know how many issues, but there's a big, big, big chunk of Constantine that's all Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon, and it's fucking amazing.
Sweet.
It has one of the best comic book story arcs I've ever read in my life. So fucking great. So you get into that, read that, and if I was going to suggest anything else you could find out there that's not the obvious common things, go check out you can get this in graphic novel form now as well, Mr. X. Which is from Vortex Comics. It's a fairly old one. I believe the first trade paperback is called The Return of Mr. X, and it's fucking awesome. It's about this guy who comes to destroy a city because the city has gone mad. The whole city was designed, all the architecture was this new type of architecture that was supposed to be mood enhancing and mood altering, but the original architect was murdered throughout the process. Or was he? There's all kinds of stuff. Anyway,
sweet.
And it was finished without his input, and so it was done wrong. So it's an entire city that is designed to drive people insane.
Sweet.
That's pretty dope.
It's so fucking awesome. So
wicked.
Mr. X has returned to the city to destroy it. And it's so, so good. It's a really great one. It's really kind of weird. It's very noir-y, but like, there's lots of like weird, fun robots and weird futuristic shit in it. It's just so great, great, great. Mr. X.
Awesome.
Fun robots.
You had
me at fun
robots. Fun
robots.
Me too.
Dean Motter involved in this, and I can't remember the other name. It's been a while. But yeah, that's a good one. Check that out.
Awesome.
I have a recommendation too.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Spider-Man?
He's amazing.
He's literally a man. Like, he's a man,
but
there's a twist.
I don't understand. Could you give me an origin story on him, please?
Right. I don't think it's ever been done before. So settle in, fellas.
Yeah. Sweet. That one, that last one sounds dope. I want to read that.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed. You've explained that to me before, and that's my entire involvement with the whole thing, but yeah. I've always been like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't need to read it because I'm like, I know the idea and I like the idea. That's yeah. good enough for me because I have a very short attention.
Well, I have a copy of it upstairs, so if you want to borrow it, Dan, and read it and tell Casey about it so he can be satisfied with that as well.
Yeah.
Or, Dan, why don't you just read it to me?
Yeah, relay. Also, I don't read a lot of comics, but I, a couple of years ago, read Black Hole by, is it, I want to say Gareth Ennett? No, not Gareth Ennett. Fuck. Have you guys read Black Hole?
No.
Okay. I'll Google it in a minute, but yeah, Black Hole is amazing. It's so good. If you're into, like, the weird stuff with, like, Arseface or whatever, like, yeah. there's a lot of kind of, like, body horror in it. I'll get the name of it before the end of the show,
yeah,
so
cool.
Stay tight. But we got to talk about a trailer that came out this week, or last week, whatever you want to say. Stranger Things.
Oh, the television show.
The Netflix original that is coming out almost in a month to the day, the 15th of next
month.
Of next month, so... IMDb released, not IMDb.
Some sentence is done today.
Yeah. Netflix released a trailer for this. The synopsis is, when a young boy disappears, his mother must confront terrifying forces in order to get him back. And for about a day, this trailer was all that I watched.
Yeah, boy, is it great.
Oh, my God.
Oh, like, fuck it. I was this close to canceling Netflix. Because I was like, because they're, like, raising their rates and shit. And I'm like, oh,
really?
Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah, it's going like up to $10,
$10
right?
$10 now.
What?
Which is, I guess, fine, but... But I was like, that sucks. And then I saw this, and I'm like, well, not until I'm finished this shit.
Yeah, right.
A couple of fucking times.
Yeah.
It's so Amblin-y.
Yeah, but it looks good Amblin-y.
Yeah.
It looks like they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
From that trailer.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they're trying to rip off and feed us back our childhood or anything. It looks like they learned, like somebody who learned from Amblin.
Yeah.
Looks like if Amblin had done Midnight Special. Because it's obviously about, like, a kid with some kind of, like powers or has come in contact with some kind of a thing and then disappears. So, and the trailer's full of, like, kids on bikes investigating it and, like, Winona Ryder is in this and she's trying to figure out what happened to her kid. Fuck, man. Oh, it looks like E.T. and just all the best parts of those kinds of movies.
Yeah. Right down to the font, I loved this.
Oh, they've got a great font treatment. Definitely.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. That was actually the only thing I wrote down for news. Do you guys, any guy grab your eyes this week?
No, I don't think there was a big news week.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I posted a bunch of stuff on the, Jeff Goldblum going to be in Thor Ragnarok.
All right.
So there's somebody I like in that movie.
Yeah.
That is a sequel to a movie I didn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be, I saw some news about the Hulk, how there's going to be a lot of... Bruce Banner grappling with his other self.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, that sounds like the Hulk, all right.
Yep.
I'm like, whatever, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what were you guys watching then? We'll jump right into that.
Alrighty.
Movies, TV shows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm watching those too.
Yeah. That's my thing.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I've been checking out Crave TV, which turns out to be pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I have been watching a show that I've always been like, I got to get into that. And then I just never had any desire to. I'm watching Broad City.
Okay.
Oh, that's on there?
I've seen some episodes of that, one or two.
No, I haven't gotten into that yet either. I've been meaning to, and I didn't know it was there and easy for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started it out, and I'm like, okay. Not every show has to be a show about just some shiftless, aimless people who, you know, don't really do anything, and the show is not necessarily about anything.
Yeah.
Because it's just been done to death, and you know, sometimes better than others. This is one of those times where it's the fucking best.
Oh, yeah, good. I really liked what I'd seen.
Oh my God, it is so fucking good, because it very much is, it's that thing of like where it's like, oh, this one's about how they have to go to this place and do this thing. It's so banal, but because the two characters, Abby and Elena are so likable, and their friendship is so fucking hilarious, and everyone surrounding, like, Hannibal Buress is in it,
yeah,
and
oh,
he's
sweet.
Fucking awesome. It's just using Hannibal Buress in the best possible way. And even people that I didn't like, there was a fella, something Downs, Paul Downs or something. He had an episode of The Characters.
Okay.
I was like, this guy's a big miss, but he's really great on the show. It just takes everybody and gives them exactly what they need to do. John Gemberling's on it.
Awesome.
He's great. Gethard's on. Chris Gethard is on it.
Yes, yeah.
It's fucking... It's so good and so, like, of its own thing. Oh, man. I can't recommend it highly enough. It's so entertaining.
Nice. Yeah, I watched one or two episodes because Emma was kind of like, oh, you've heard of this? And I was like, yeah, I haven't watched it, though. But so we watched, like, the first two, and I really thought it was funny, but I just haven't gone down through them. But
it
yeah,
took
I should
me
get,
a little
I should
while
get
to get the tenor of the show and to kind of, like, get into it.
Yeah.
Because, again, I was just like, okay, well, it's just doing a Master of None slash Louis slash Marin slash all of the rest of these fucking shows.
Yeah.
Where it's really slackery and really, like, you know, loose with its structure.
Yeah.
But, man, it just proves that that's a well that the right if the right people go to it, it's a well that produces.
Yeah. Speaking of the shifting, aimless youth.
Yeah.
I watched a movie, and I don't know if you guys have watched it or not. You may have. I forgot about whether or not we've talked about this, but Mistress America. The Noah Baumbach film.
No.
Starring Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
When did that come out?
So this came out last year.
I
can't. I think it was after While We're Young, I feel like. Or maybe it was before. I'm not 100% sure. But it did come out 2015. And so this is sort of like a spiritual successor to Frances Ha in some ways. It's like about, you know, Greta Gerwig is this woman that's sort of approaching her 30s or has just turned 30 in New York City, and she has all these ambitions and all these kind of, you know, dreams of the things that she wants to do and whether or not they are going to come true or if she's actually even interested in pursuing them or if she's just sort of interested in having a million things going at once. And she ends up getting involved with the life of her stepsister, I guess, or like her dad's marrying this woman's mom. And she's like a younger woman than Greta Gerwig. She's off to college in the big city kind of thing. And so they end up having this friendship, and it goes from that kind of like hangout kind of character study that, and then it spirals into a straight up almost farce screwball thing in the final act. The movie kind of ends up at a house with all these characters and they're all running around and hilarity ensues, and I fucking loved this movie. I loved Frances Ha. I think Frances Ha is better than this movie.
Yeah.
But I was thinking while I was watching it, we had a bit of a disagreement on that. Greg and I enjoyed that movie, and Casey was a little bit less on it, if I remember correctly. And I was I really want to know what Casey thinks of Mistress America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it tackles...
Because I love Noah Baumbach, especially this period of Noah Baumbach.
Oh, he's so good right now.
I've been like... Totally into what he's doing, except for Frances Ha. I found it too self-indulgent.
And this movie, it's tackling kind of a similar thing, but differently. Like her character, like some people say, oh, maybe it's like as if the character of Frances is sort of grown up a few years. But I would think differently. It's a very different kind of take on the same sort of person in a way. And I thought all the performances are great, and it's fucking funny. I laughed a lot.
Sweet.
Yeah.
No,
and
that's great. I didn't hear from anyone about that movie. I wasn't really sure.
It's good. I liked it a lot.
No,
it's on Netflix. Watch it.
I really want to watch Frances Ha again, because I only saw it the once and was very turned off by it.
I love it.
I wonder if maybe
movie.
It's worth another look.
Yeah, check it out again.
It's very Mistress America is very different, especially in its final act and ending. I found like Frances Ha has a very definitive, like, especially visually, like, this is like there's something that happens at the end of the movie where you're like, okay, it all makes sense to me anyway. And this movie is different, and I'd like to know what you think.
Alrighty.
Yeah. So it's on YouTube. Not YouTube. It's on Netflix. Mistress America.
Yeah.
I'd
Mistress
like to know what people out there think
America.
Too.
Curious.
Yeah.
So what have you been watching, Greg?
Yeah, Greg. What have you been watching?
Is it hot in here? Or am I just terribly sunburned?
I'm all right.
A little of both. I'm a little warm, but not.
I'm not dying or anything.
Not blisteringly red like yourself.
It's so hot.
Yeah. I think most of the heat is emanating off of your neck.
I'll keep you warm. Sorry, my brain hurts.
Yeah.
Listen, I watched some stuff.
Okay.
I watched The Green Inferno.
Ooh.
Oh, why did you do that?
Because I was curious, and it was in front of me.
I suppose I'm curious.
Yeah.
Eli Roth just
popped up in front of me. It was very easy, and I'm like, there it is. Here's Eli Roth's
take on the cannibal.
Yeah.
Doing his own little cannibal holocaust kind of thing.
Right. And I was kind of, I don't even know what I wanted out of it. I wasn't expecting a lot. And
no.
Man, I really enjoyed Cabin Fever. That's a good movie. But, I mean, there's kind of nothing else.
Nothing else.
I don't like the...
Nothing.
Don't like the hostile films.
Nope. They're not fun.
No. Yeah, and I don't know. Then he was like, I'm an actor for a while. And it's like, oh, no. Anyway.
Yeah, I wonder if Quentin Tarantino still returns his calls.
Well, so I checked this out, and I was like, let's see what's up, and maybe I can have a nice cannibal adventure.
Yeah.
If the movie gets boring, I'll just go on a little cannibal adventure.
That's right. So, it's some activist kids, and they're going to go out to make a difference in the world, and so they go into the rainforest to change things to stop some... industry.
Yeah.
And then they get taken captive by a fictional tribe and who are cannibals. And this movie sucks.
It's from the way that this movie was sold and presented, and it took a long time to come out because
That's why I was very curious.
Either
is it too extreme,
or it was just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But it's like everything about it, like the way that he sold it when I heard him on podcast, he was like, you know, like I'm really taking them, like this generation's all these slacktivists and people on Twitter arguing about the PC world. I'm taking these people down a notch. I'm going to throw them in like a cannibal real world, like, oh, shit hits the fan situation. It just seemed like, grow up.
Oh, God.
Like, what if the people I didn't like were getting eaten by cannibals? Like, I don't know, man. You just seem to have a distaste for your characters.
Yeah, this is the problem.
Well,
no one's likable.
Yeah.
No one's interesting. And no one's detestable. They're just, it's all just so empty because there's nothing holding it together. And listen, I've seen the fucking cannibal movies, not all of them, but I've watched some cannibal films.
Totally.
And, like, they're fine. They're fun. And they're fun because they're so, they seem... They seem so completely devoid of traditional movie making.
Yeah.
Like they're so, like, it's so weird to see something that violent or gross or something like in a movie that is clearly not made by someone who knows how to make a movie. And it's just like they had film and stuff, and they're like, we just need to film eating people. I don't care about the rest.
Yeah.
And maybe this is his problem too. But it's too slick looking and has this fucking smirking little message going on or non-message going on that just detracts from the whole thing. So you can't have fun because there's no one to cheer for or even root against. You got your guy that you're supposed to hate the most, but it doesn't fucking matter. They cut some people up real aggressively. There's some violence in it that's of hostile level.
Yeah.
But even now, I'm like that. I can't even be as turned off by it as I was in Hostile because I'm like, whatever, I've seen this shit, man. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
I know what this idiot's going to do.
Yeah.
It was the same with Knock Knock, Who's There? Bad movie. it's just everybody's so flat and...
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I see what these people are doing and I see how this guy's reacting, but I don't care about any of them because you're not giving me anything to grab onto here.
Yeah.
It's just a slick... fucking hour and a half where you just skate through mediocrity.
Yeah. I want to talk about one scene in detail, though.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because while I was watching it, I thought of you guys immediately, which is very funny considering what I'm about to say next.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Okay,
God, are you going to eat us?
So there's all these college kids are all in a... cage.
Okay.
You know, in the village of these of this tribe, like a bamboo you know, cage or whatever. And they're all freaking out and stuff like that. And they're, oh my God, they're going to eat us all. What are we going to do? Why did we come here? Oh my gosh. And these guys are fighting with each other. Like, why? And then the ringleader dude is, he just starts beating it. He starts masturbating.
Oh my God.
And this is
of
when
course.
I thought of you guys.
Eli Roth.
Because it is
hot in here.
I was just like, fuck this movie.
Yeah.
And I thought of both of you and how you would react to watching this scene. If you were in the room with me to go, ah, because he starts talking, they're all like, whoa, you're sick. What are you doing? Yeah. And he's still masturbating. He's like, you should probably be doing the same thing too, because it releases stress and you need to be calm in this situation.
Ugh.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's so stupid.
You just wanted a guy to jerk off in a cage.
Movie.
You fucking psycho. Jesus. God.
Yeah. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, that sounds like a real Todd Solondz moment.
and it just, like, that was, that. I think that's probably the central moment of the film where it's just like, if you like this or don't like this, it'll decide your fate with this movie. But I was just watching, I'm like, oh my God, this movie. Who is this guy? Eli Roth. What a maroon.
Seriously.
You know, he's a piece of shit.
Maroon. The people who liked that movie were the people who would be like, you know what? That's what I would do too.
Yeah, I would jerk off
exactly
in that game.
What I'd be doing?
Oh man, because
it establishes dominance too, you guys.
It's got clumsy dialogue. It has a terrible, terrible climax.
Is anyone in it of note?
No, no one.
All right.
Yeah, it just is a huge.
Not even Ryder Strong.
It's just a huge bummer.
Yeah,
in every way. I don't know. What Eli Roth can do from here. Not make another horror movie.
Well, yeah,
no,
I don't know.
Gore. Do something else.
What he did, and he
try
did Knock
something
Knock.
What is that him?
That was after this.
Yeah. Oh, right, that is his movie, isn't it?
Knock Knock.
Yeah, Knock Knock.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, that is him.
Yeah. So,
that's still some kind of like...
That's not, yeah, that's
I'm
not
gonna
even...
I'm going to get inside your head.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Eli.
You're not anywhere close to my
jerk
head.
Off somewhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No one's jerking off inside this cage. yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what he has to do.
No,
I know. No more movies.
Stop making movies.
Maybe
and
something
no more
else
producing.
Altogether.
He's got
just
enough money.
Leave it alone for a while. Yeah. I just don't know. They're bad. They're really, really bad.
Totally.
So bad.
I watched a horror movie this week. I'll really quickly just say it had been like 5 or 6 years, I feel like, since I watched Suspiria from 1977.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And right from the opening of that movie, it brought me back to when I saw it for the first time and was just like, what? You can do these? What?
Yeah.
Like in high school watching this, like, oh, I like horror movies and slasher movies. And then I watched Suspiria for the first time and was like, what? I think that movie meanders and it, like a lot of those kind of movies, it's not, you know, there's parts of it where I'm like, well, this movie got boring for like 10 minutes, but it's always gorgeous.
Yeah, well,
the dialogue is crazy hokey and it's hilariously bad overdubbing and stuff.
Yeah,
but
really bad.
Everything about that movie, the music, the first opening murder in that movie, I can't remember the last time that I felt that like unnerved. And I've seen this movie like 3 or 4 times.
Oh,
it's why the music? You're like, what the fuck's going on?
What's do you have a favorite Dario Argento film?
I would. It's really hard.
It is hard.
I don't know if I would pick Suspiria, but like most people, if I was showing somebody Argento, I would probably pick Suspiria.
Yeah, that's a good way to
look
at it.
Opera is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Opera was my first, and it definitely, you know, got me interested.
Yeah.
I still quite like Opera.
I've been meaning to watch a couple of his that I haven't seen, like Four Flies on Grey Velvet. Uh-huh. I love Deep Red. Deep Red is really good.
Yeah.
And then I've seen Inferno, which is good, but I don't know if I would rank it up there. I've actually never seen Tenebrae. So I want to watch that.
Yeah, we talked about that at some point.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It's really great.
He's got a lot of shit.
It's not like it's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah.
What's going on in Tenebrae? But there are some scenes.
Yeah,
there are some frickin' scenes.
Yeah, I've still got a couple of his major ones to.
Yeah,
I've never seen Bird with a Crystal Plumage, Cat o' Nine Tails, Phenomena with the Bugs. But I like Opera. Those are all, I mean, most of them even if the ones that I've seen that I was like, that was not great, I've been like, but it was gorgeous and crazy
awesome.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was
good.
A horror movie that
awesome,
I liked.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a great movie.
Still good. Casey, what have you been watching? outside of Crave TV?
Well, not necessarily outside
or,
of Crave TV.
Or on it, yeah.
There's, they've got a lot of great stuff on there. They have Mr. Show on there.
Nice.
Oh, so, my.
And my host really loved with Bob and David.
Nice.
But had never seen Mr. Show, so I've been showing her that, hence my quote
nice.
Today. Guess what? That's still great. I've been catching up on Kroll Show because Kroll Show's on there too.
Oh, sweet. Man.
Yeah. And God damn it, Kroll Show is great, especially Wheels Ontario.
Yeah.
God damn it. It's so good. They really know very little about. Actually, they know a surprising amount about Canada.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while there'll be a class scene and they'll just be teaching something about Canada. Like, yeah, that's hilarious. But I watched a movie.
Okay.
Perhaps last night. Yes,
okay.
Last night. I watched the movie Final Girls.
Oh. I've been interested in seeing this because in the horror community, it got a lot of divisive. Some people thought it was just great and hilarious, and some people just said they really don't get the slasher genre.
Well, the
so
thing
I wanna
is,
know what you think.
The thing is, I
the
don't
cast
think
is stacked.
Yeah, it's a great cast.
Thomas Middleditch.
Thomas Middleditch, Adam Devine.
Yeah.
Malin Ackerman.
Mm-hmm.
Tysa Farmiga. Angela Trimber from various things, but she's one of the Pistol Shrimps.
Yes.
So I was very happy to see her, and she's great.
And it's got like a really, on paper, it has a great concept.
It is a great concept, and I think that the horror community needs to leave this movie alone because it's not a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's very much a fantasy comedy.
Yeah.
Within the context of the horror world, it's not trying to get the slasher. Well, it sort of is, and I can see how they're like, it doesn't get the nuances of the slasher.
Mm-hmm. It's setting
realm.
It in a world that it doesn't understand because this isn't what these movies are like. Or
it's
something.
Setting it in a world that's, you know, the very basic things that we know about slasher
just
movies.
The cliches.
Like, yeah, the people who have sex. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just the cliches
that's
kind
not,
of thing.
That can be fine.
Well, like, exactly.
If
and
your
that's,
movie's
not the, that's not the point of this. The point is these people stumble into a movie, into a slasher movie, one of whom knows the movie inside and out kind of thing, and they have to survive within the movie. And within that, it has these lovely themes because one of the girls, her mother, who died, was one of the actresses in the movie.
Oh.
So she meets her mother, but the mother is the character in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's her sort of... I found myself every once in a while going, oh, I wish they had have done this. I wish they had have set this up and then done this.
Yeah.
But again, that's just me, you know, like directing my own movie in my head because I really liked the concept and everything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't over-explain its...
conceived or...
It doesn't go like, well, this is how they got sucked into the movie or anything. It's just... They have to walk through the screen to get out of the theater, and they accidentally walk into the movie. That's all you know. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
It's very, very charming.
Yeah.
It's extremely charming. The script is pretty terrible. I think the funniest parts are the kind of ad-libbed parts of with Thomas Middleditch and Adam Devine and people like that. But, Alia Shawkat is in it as well.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, man. It's so, so likable. For most of the time. Every once in a while I'd be like, well, this is a very clunky scene and I don't need to know this about this character, and this character is very wooden and I don't care about them. But yeah, for the most part, it's just a really, really sweet movie.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to watch that then.
I would definitely suggest it.
Yeah.
Don't go in expecting like the craziest, awesomest movie in the world. Just expect to turn it off and go, that was nice.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Greg, did you watch anything nice?
Yeah, Dan, I did.
Oh, what?
I watched...
Guys, stop fighting.
Sorry, Dan, I love you. I watched Darkman again.
Oh,
yay!
That's nice.
I haven't seen Darkman in a long time.
Athena has never seen Darkman, so
oh,
we
man.
Watched that.
I should see if Emma's seen Darkman. I want to watch that.
Fuck yeah, Darkman's great. Every time I watch Darkman, I kind of think about the trivia I know about it or whatever. And I saw it in theaters, and I've seen it like a lot of times.
Yeah.
I used to own Darkman 3, Die, Darkman, Die.
I saw that movie. I remember renting it.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Arnold Vosloo
both sequels, it's him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in he's the second one, too?
Yeah,
the one, Die, Darkman, Die is the one where Ted Raimi comes up out of a sewer and gets his head knocked off by a car.
No, that's first Darkman.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, somebody gets that done to them in the second one, then.
Yeah, second
or
one,
the third,
or the third one, Jeff Fahey is the bad guy.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Jeff Fahey is fucking fantastic in Turkman 3.
I genuinely like Jeff Fahey. Fuck,
yeah.
I think he's great.
He's very good. Darkman, Sam Raimi, his first not Evil Dead movie, right?
Mm, I think so. Or like, no, because he did
Crime Wave.
Yeah.
Right. Which this almost
was,
doesn't
it was,
count.
It was kind of his first big.
Yeah,
like,
it was his first
studio picture, yeah.
Backed film. And he wanted Bruce Campbell to play Darkman.
Yeah.
But the studio was like, no. And they all apparently they were really close to casting Bill Paxton, but then went with Liam Neeson. And I think Liam Neeson is terrific in this movie.
Yeah, I think he's great.
He's so great as Dr. Westlake. Super good. But I always am like, ah, man, if this was a Bruce Campbell joint.
Yeah, it would have been sweet.
And then I was thinking about it when I was watching this time. I'm like, because it's Sam Raimi. It's Ted Raimi. It's Rob Tappert's producing.
Yeah.
Like, it's the whole gang.
Totally.
But imagine you and all your friends are doing something, and then someone else comes over and goes, yeah, but Casey, you can't play.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce Campbell just can't be there for this big fucking thing they do, which is just a huge bummer, you know?
Yeah, it totally is. But I would understand. I'm not very good.
I think about weird stuff like that when I watch these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a total bummer.
Yeah.
And them having to tell him, hey, we're all going to go do this thing. You hang back.
Yeah. They don't think you're very good.
Which is fucking ridiculous because he would have been so perfect.
Oh, man. He would have been fucking amazing. Again, Liam Neeson is great as Darkman.
He is.
And fucking Larry Drake.
Yeah.
Durant.
Oh, I was so sad when he died
away.
Quite recently.
Yeah, very
because
recently.
I used to really enjoy L.A. Law.
Yeah, man.
I used to watch the hell out of L.A. Law.
And then
of course, Dr. Giggles.
Dr. Giggles is severely underrated.
I agree.
That's fucking great. It's got Dougie Doug in it.
Yeah, totally. If you watch that movie, I watched it recently because I was thinking about suggesting it for Video Vengeance.
Right.
And if you watch that movie as like a sort of EC or Dark Horse kind of like weird sort of anti-supervillain superhero kind of movie, like it has like an origin story. The way that movie plays out, it's a slasher, but it also has this kind of crazy comic book thing going on.
Oh, it's bananas.
Yeah.
But it came at the time like when the slashers were really going down in flames, and it was kind of the last one of that era. And it's like, so he has, I think, like two catchphrases per kill.
Yeah. Gotta get these in here.
But they're all so good. That is a very watchable
movie
that I think either people have forgotten about or never saw in the first place.
I think a lot of people like it as a punchline because it's called Dr. Giggles.
Totally. But
they don't get how fucking great it is.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It looks good. The kills are great. And the one-liners are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It should have been a franchise thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, watch Dr. Giggles. And watch Darkman. Very cool.
Yeah.
What I really like about Darkman is it has a very strong character arc. You have your very identified three chapters of the man's mind and soul. And what I really dig, though, is when he goes off, when Darkman goes off, because they talk about what's happened, you know, with his nervous system, and he doesn't feel pain, but he also has, like psychotic episodes, which gives him, he's a little bit stronger, but he has, like, uncontrollable rage and shit like that. But part of it is mixed with, like, he's losing his mind because of all this shit, because when he does that to Ted Raimi, when he sticks his head up and gets him fucking wiped out, it's because he's asking him for information about Durant.
Yeah.
And Ted Raimi's like, his name is this. This is where he does his work. I told you everything. And Darkman's like, I know you did, but let's pretend you didn't.
Yeah.
And then just fucking kills him. He's like, holy fuck, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So when Sam Raimi makes a fucking comic book movie, because they wouldn't let him do Batman, I think he petitioned for Batman. He also tried to get The Shadow, and they were like, no. And he's like, fine, I'll just write my own.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is, I think, how this would be more likely.
Yeah.
The person's probably insane, and they will kill people.
You
can't go take down the mob without killing some people,
right?
You know, and at the end too, he's like, he drops the he has every
Every other hero movie would have him saving the dude or not doing it, and he then, you know, accidentally he gets killed or something like that. Darkman's just like, nope, I'm dropping you off this building.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning to live with the fact that I murder people now.
Yeah.
It's
I'm
so all right great.
With me now.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah, it's a good fucking movie, Darkman. And of course, it looks amazing. And
it looks fucking beautiful.
The scene when he's trying to win the elephant.
Yeah.
It could not be more. If you were making a sketch about Sam Raimi movies, yeah, you would make that scene.
That whole thing is like one of my all-time favorite 90 seconds in film.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Anyway, yeah, that's a hell of a picture.
Yep.
It's a good time.
For those of you who have already gone and commented on like the post for this or the Facebook post or whatever, go delete your posts because I remembered I needed to come up with the name of that comic book artist. Charles Burns did Black Hole.
Ah.
So go get Black Hole by Charles Burns. It's great. Now yeah. Go delete your... I'm sure because I forgot to go back. Somebody was like, actually. I wanted to ask you guys, have either of you seen Band of the Hand? From 1986.
I saw that on your letterbox or whatever, and I was like, what movie did you watch?
I started that. I found it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I was about to watch it, but I was like, I know I'm going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And I had the mental note of like, I need to watch this and tell Dan Gorman I did.
So this is a movie that Michael Mann produced in 1986. It was originally supposed to be a pilot for a TV show that never ended up happening, so they like... turned it into a movie and filmed a bunch of other stuff that like was able to get it an R rating because there's like some violence and shit in this that you wouldn't be able to get on TV.
Band of the Hand.
And there's a reason for it.
I would hope so.
But it's basically about like all of these criminals get thrown in jail and then they get taken out of jail and thrown into the woods with this survivalist guy who's going to train them. So the first third of the movie is... like these two gang members and like a kid that killed his dad because he was beating on his mom and all these like super 80s archetypes, stereotypical over the top characters, and they're all trying to like work together in the woods and like figure out how to hunt for fish and shit with the idea that then they're going to be let loose in the city so that they can be this, you know, A-team kind of thing. It's like ridiculous. But the first...
that sounds pretty amazing.
The first
if
third
you
of the
have a problem and no one can help, maybe you can call these hoodlums who can fish well.
Yeah.
Maybe
you call Band of the Hand.
Band of the Hand.
And then the movie becomes like, oh, we got to get them back now, like 45 minutes in. And then for some reason, the Band of the Hand just decides they're going to like... pick a crack house and kick everybody else out of the house so that could be their home base. And they spend like 20 minutes just painting a house in this movie.
Oh, does it gets like a Revenge of the Nerds house cleanup
They're
montage?
Like, we're out of here. And then
they put cameras in the girls' house.
And then Lawrence...
spend all night looking at vagina. Uh-huh.
Lawrence Fishburne shows up and they're encroaching on this like gang's territory. And Lawrence Fishburne's like, I'm not going to let this happen. And then, like, at finally an hour and a half into this movie, it becomes sort of an action movie where they got to, like, blow a bunch of stuff up. I can't recommend this, but to people like Greg, you will find some pretty ridiculous stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
It's watchable throughout, but you're like, this is eight different movies that you've tried to cobble together into one, and two of them are boring.
Well, only two. I like those odds.
Yeah, not bad. All right. Yeah, I'll watch that.
It's just, it's a ridiculous movie.
Terrific.
Yeah.
All right.
Anything else?
Yeah.
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 Make a wish.
Wish.
Yeah.
All right, what? Come on, spit it out.
I rewatched Neighbors.
Okay.
Because Athena hadn't seen that. And we wanted to watch two based on Casey's review.
Yeah.
So we watched the first one together. And that movie was much more entertaining on a second go than I was expecting it to be.
Sweet.
It was a lot of fun.
I quite like Neighbors.
Yeah.
It's very good. Yeah, I laughed a number of times out loud. I enjoyed that movie much more the second time than I did the first.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we watched Neighbors 2. Which I also thoroughly enjoyed.
It's really
what
great.
What a nice time. Yeah. Yes. And but I really took away from watching those movies two nights in a row. I think Rose Byrne is the best thing about them.
She's phenomenal.
Oh, man, is she good.
Yeah.
She's really funny.
They actually, if there's a fault with those movies, which there are a few,
yeah,
they don't give her enough to do.
No, it's true.
She is in on the action, which is great, but she kind of should be the vocal point. And yeah. I really enjoy, like, I enjoy Seth Rogen, but...
yeah, no, and he's doing his thing very well yeah. in this movie, both of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're totally right, man. Fucking Zac Efron is great.
He's fucking great. Yeah, mind-blowing.
I'm, like, kind of, like, rooting for that guy now. Like, get out there, kiddo, do some stuff.
Totally.
I think you probably got something in it.
Yeah, I seem to remember people liking that 17 Again movie. Where he was like,
yeah,
I was
him and Matthew Perry, or
the body switch one,
yeah,
and like
yeah.
people, like, vice versa.
I seem to remember when that came out, people were like, "This movie, you know, say what you will about the movie, but he's very funny," and kind of he carried it. Huh. I remember that was the first time I was aware of people saying, "He, no, he's funny."
Yeah, no, he's funny. Great. He's got great charisma. He's he's
and
pretty
again,
good.
The continuation of the airbag
very good.
Scene. Yeah. Oh my god, fucking beautiful.
Yeah. And more Ike Barinholtz in movies, please.
Yeah, he's just always great.
Yeah.
Carla Gallo,
yeah,
I think her name is. She's fucking great too.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a nice time at the pictures.
It's a wonderful picture.
I had fun with it.
Yeah,
it's light fare. It's not something like, you know, we're going to be going down in the history of great comedies.
Yeah.
Bringing these movies
at
up.
All. But it doesn't need to be. It's like I Love You, Man. It's like, oh, that was a fun movie to watch.
Yeah, that's a really good movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. A little tie-in real quick. Mm-hmm. Two Neighbors 2. I watched Gerard Carmichael's stand-up. I cannot remember what it's called. It was directed by Spike Lee.
Oh.
It's just him at the... Oh, it's Love at the Store or something like that.
Okay.
I think it's called, because it's all filmed at the Comedy Store. Gerard Carmichael is fucking great. I don't think that this is his big pinnacle show. I think
yeah.
this is the ramp up.
Okay.
I think the next couple shows he's gonna fucking absolutely kill it. I just think he's a little young right now.
Yeah.
His observations are great, and where he chooses to go is fucking great, because he's completely unapologetic. He just doesn't have all of his thoughts together quite
okay.
yet. But I think his next two stand-up specials, he will rival like the biggest people going today.
Okay,
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, just fucking great.
Speaking yeah. of Spike Lee,
did you see Chi-Rock?
No, I've been dying to.
Yeah, me too.
It's
I really
to
want to see it.
Fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
No, I've been playing a lot of video games lately.
Yeah.
And I subscribe to PS Plus, which is like you pay $70. For a year, and every month you get two free games.
Uh-huh.
So it's like super worth it. But
right.
This month, one of the games is NBA 2K16, like whatever
oh,
the most
man,
recent NBA
I love
game
those
is.
Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't played a basketball game in years. So super fun for me. But
yeah.
this year is the first year that they've done a career mode where it's like a story.
Oh,
and
sure.
it's called Living Dad Dream. And it's a Spike Lee joint.
Oh,
and
God.
So it opens with like these like actors.
So it's like got cutscenes and shit?
Yeah, and it's like you play like a kid who really wants in on basketball, and you start, it's almost like Hoop Dreams.
Yeah,
like you start playing like in the like call in like the high school, real good high school leagues and stuff, and you're gonna work your way up and live the dream. But it opens with Spike, like a Spike Lee thing where the actors that provided the motion capture are hanging out in their motion capture suits and look all weird, and they're like talking, and then Spike Lee comes in and he's like, cut, oh, that was terrible, and then he turns to the camera and he's like, this year we have been decided to do a different thing for and he's like totally, you can't see
he's
me at home, but
off the
teleprompter. I'm moving my head left and right. He's like, here at EA we wanted to do a different kind of thing with the story mode, and then he goes Shazam, and then he turns into like video game Spike Lee.
Oh my
god.
He's like, welcome to my world now or something, and it is fucking embarrassing. And every time a cutscene comes up, I'm like, this is literally some of the worst storytelling in video games that I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I want it to be good because I love the idea of your career mode being like this sort of realistic take on like Hoop Dreams, what it means, you know, because there is a lot of stuff outside of the game that you, outside of the basketball stuff that you like, you get letters from colleges, and then you have like meetings with those people and stuff. So it's like really in depth, but it's just really embarrassing for that stuff.
Oh my god!
But that's you talking about that, Shazam! Welcome to my world, weird 3D Spike Lee world.
Thing I will say about Spike Lee, he is not afraid to fail. He will get it done.
Yeah. Anyway, that was video game corner.
All right.
Is that it then? We getting into film roulette?
No, I have a question.
What?
Casey, did you watch The Story of Ricky?
Nope.
You're a piece
of
shit.
You fucking
bastard.
I know,
right?
What's wrong with you?
Did
you have to watch Transformers again or something?
I chose to. I haven't really been able to watch a lot of, I've just been watching a lot of TV here and there. And tending to my pregnant wife, so I'm hiding.
Don't use your wife as an excuse.
Wife.
You're terrible.
No,
you watched
no.
all of these things. It's the same as that, but the
well, it's because like everything that I watched was episodic. So
so don't watch three of them next time.
Yeah, I suppose. And she falls asleep like during the first one, so I could
switch it over
quite easily. Have watched it.
She'll wake up to like ultra violence, like on this crazy kung fu movie.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like we've been watching a lot of this stuff in bed, and B has been in bed with us a lot of times, so I I don't want to be watching it with B in the room, so
All right, by next week.
Yeah. Watch that fucking movie.
I will.
Yeah,
I will watch The Story of Ricky.
Yeah
I came very close this week to watching Platoon. I think I'm going to watch it. I'm going to continue down my I didn't like Wall Street. I'll see what some of the other movies Scott did that I'm not 100% sure.
Ridley Scott.
Oh, yeah.
No, Oliver Stone.
Stone. Always do it. Yeah. I don't know why.
That's really
They're
weird.
Nothing alike.
Nothing alike.
Oh, except the 80s thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Late 70s, 80s thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We getting into film roulette?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week it was winner's choice, so the two high rollers got to go see whatever they wanted, and the loser has to go see something that we have picked as the punishment film. It could be a movie in theaters. It could be a thematically linked film on Netflix. This week it was in theaters, and it was Warcraft, the new film based on Warcraft by Duncan Jones. The loser, though, gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. Last week, I was the loser, and I made these guys listen to an album by Good Charlotte. We will review that, review some movies, and roll for movies next week. And that's how you play the game. This week, it was Winner's Choice. Who wants to go first for Winner's Choice? I caught a flick. And Casey, you caught a flick.
I sure did catch a flick.
Who
catch a flick?
Catch a flick.
I don't have that much to say about mine, so I'll go first.
Okay.
I did, much like everyone was expecting me to do, watch see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Who did you?
Oh, yeah.
I almost went and saw it. I was thinking about it.
Let me tell you something about that movie. It's great.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Let me get it up on IMDb so we can go through this thing. What's the full title of this? Out of the Shadows?
Out of the Shadows and
Into Our Hearts.
Secret of the Out of the Shadows.
So this also stars Megan Fox and Will Arnett, much like the first one.
Yeah.
So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows, directed by Dave Green. This movie's getting 40 on Metascore right now.
Understand that 40.
Yeah. As Shredder joins forces with mad scientist Baxter Stockman and henchmen Bebop and Rocksteady, finally, to take over the world, the Turtles must confront an even greater nemesis, the notorious Krang. So, by all accounts, from the way that they have plotted this film out, it sounds like this is the movie that you would expect from Ninja Turtles. We got Krang, we got Bebop,
yeah,
we got Rocksteady.
It's the movie I expected from Ninja Turtles.
The last one.
In 1988.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe it took this long.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. They fucking deliver.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the cartoon?
Yeah,
I did.
I watched the hell out of the cartoon.
Yeah.
This was an hour and 40 some odd minutes of the car. It's the live action cartoon.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Good.
Yeah,
it's a crap movie basically.
Sure. It's not a very good cartoon.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, I watched that cartoon all the time, and then the last time I saw like clips from it, I was remembering, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, not very good.
And so this is just a reboot of that, and it just does that perfectly, and it gives you like the turtles are on screen all the time and they're fucking awesome. Michelangelo is always my favorite turtle because he was like the wisecrack part of dude.
Yeah,
and
of
he's
course.
Totally that in this, and he's really funny.
Right on.
Like, they
awesome.
Have some great lines for him. He's very
Who is your favorite turtle, Dan?
He, also Michelangelo.
Also, yeah. Michelangelo. Also,
obviously.
Yeah.
The surfer dude.
Also a party dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Okay, but there was one huge disappointment. For some reason, I thought Fred Armisen was the voice of Krang. Krang looks fucking awesome, by the
way.
Yeah,
right.
Totally fucking awesome. And then how disappointed was I to learn that it was voiced by Brad Garrett?
Oh.
And he's terrible.
Is Fred Armisen just not involved in this movie at all then? We just got it completely wrong?
I guess I must have just got it completely wrong. I must have heard wrong or something.
He's
but anyway.
Is he doing the thing? The...
He's trying to do his own thing, and it sort of resembles, sort of, but it's awful. It's like, Brad Garrett, you're not good at anything. So that was a real disappointment because Krang looked so good, and I wanted him to have like the crazy Krang voice, but he didn't. He's fucking Brad Garrett.
Bullshit.
I would rather have Doris Roberts. May she rest in peace. But other than that, man, it's just, you know, it's a real thrill ride.
Yeah.
It's like, guess what? Now they're up on a plane. And now they're fighting Bebop and Rocksteady, who are fucking great, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're fighting on a plane, and then they just destroy the plane in midair.
Yeah.
And they all kind of go crashing down into a river, and now they're in the river, and now they're, like, fighting
like,
the rapids
the,
while they're fighting
the eight-year-old script complex.
Totally.
And then they're in the river, and then he fell off my desk, and now he's in the jungle, and now he's fighting G.I. Joe for some reason, because I had that toy in my room.
Yeah, exactly, because I just saw that G.I. Joe was in the corner. But it is that, but it's fucking great.
Yeah.
And there's, like, there's little plot points here and there. Tyler Perry is pretty bad because he's trying desperately to ham it up. You know how he was great in Gone Girl because he was actually quite hammy, but he thought he was acting?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And that's why he was great. In this, he's trying to be hammy, so it's like, whoa, rein it in.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he'll get
this,
great.
How is this movie? Because I'm thinking... As I hear this, you know, we need movies like this. Obviously, they're not going to be like a critical smash, but this just sounds like the cartoony movie that I expected.
Yeah.
But I know that it looks like a Michael Bay picture. It has that Platinum Dunes thing.
Absolutely.
And
it's
Megan
very
Fox
greasy.
Is back.
Megan Fox is back. Arnett is back.
And
neither one
like
of them
weird,
have any consequence
here.
The Arrow... You know the Arrow, the TV show?
Yeah.
The guy who plays the Arrow, I guess Stephen Amell is his name.
Yeah.
Okay. He plays Casey Jones.
I heard
again,
he was, is he bad or is he good?
He's not bad. He's just not...
Not great.
Like, are his eyebrows weird?
What?
Are his eyebrows weird was your question. I gotta tell you, I totally forgot to look at his eyebrows. I'm so sorry, Craig.
I will check out.
I should have.
Yeah.
Totally forgot.
Yeah.
He was a guest as Arrow on an episode of The Flash, which I watch occasionally.
All right.
And I was like,
What's with his eyebrows? That's what I thought. Anyway.
Well, if somebody's got weird eyebrows, that is what you'd think of.
Listeners, please email us at info@modernsuperior.com. What do you think of the Flash or the Arrow's eyebrows?
What do you think of his? Hell, let us know what you think of your own eyebrows.
Yeah.
We're good.
Like, would this movie have benefited if it had less of that going on? Or is it just
the,
fine
what, the
as
eyebrows
it is?
Or?
Yeah, the
no,
eyebrows.
It didn't matter. Like, the Ninja Turtles were fun because they were the Ninja Turtles. You know? Like, and because
I feel like if they were going back to get it right, like, did we really need Will Arnett to come back?
Not at all. And they kind of make a point of him being, you know, like, he's like the big hero at the end of the first one, even though he's not the one who saved the city, but he's like, you know, soaking in the attention and stuff like that. But again, he might as well not be there, and he's not that great in this movie. But again, the humans aren't
the point
that
right,
the
what's
point,
going on.
Shredder's kind of disappointing because he's just a dude. He puts the helmet on at the end kind of thing, and it's like, oh, now he looks more like Shredder, but, you know, who fucking cares? Because the Ninja Turtles are awesome. Bebop.
You're confused because he's wearing Reeboks.
He's wearing Reebops. Bebop and Rocksteady are fucking super dope. Dean Winters shows up in a very small role, and I was like, what's he doing here? But man, it's a lot of fun. And it ends on, like, so basically Krang and Shredder are trying to bring this huge ship into our dimension to take over the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they figured out a way to do it kind of piece by piece. So the ship is sort of building itself, and that all looks super cool. And the big final blowout kind of thing happens on this big ship, and it all looks really great.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Sweet.
It's so dumb, so bad. It deserves the 40% it got.
Yeah,
sure. But I had a great fucking time.
I will watch it on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, also, I just want to let you know that Scott Hudson Riley, father of two,
has
not only watched The Story of Ricky, but Stone Cold as well.
Woo, baby, best listener ever.
Yeah.
And best friend
so
ever.
So get your shit together.
Yeah.
Well, good for you, Scott.
amazing.
Yeah.
All
I
right.
I have two kids, too. Just one of them's on the inside.
Yeah. okay, well, I watched a movie this week. I think maybe in the coming week I'll end up watching that Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, but...
I hope you do.
This week I watched a film that I've been meaning to check out for a while. It had amazing trailers. This movie had one of the best ad campaigns, I feel like, in a while. I dug all the posters, all the trailers. High Rise. Directed by Ben Wheatley.
Oh, yeah. Really did have a good ad campaign.
All those posters where it's like the car and the guy is falling off the building in the reflection, and the trailers were all super dope.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to see this. Directed by Ben Wheatley. I don't know if his eyebrows are weird. I'll look into that. starring Tom Hiddleston, Sienna Miller, Jeremy Irons, Luke Evans, Elizabeth Moss. Tons of people in this movie.
Elizabeth Moss, I love her.
Yeah.
Who's Luke Evans?
You wouldn't know
him.
Is
it Lou Kevins?
No. Luke Evans. Okay. I just clicked on him. Let's see what happens. He's in Fast and Furious 6 and 7. He was in two of the Hobbit movies and a ton of other stuff. I know he is a thing. I just can't picture his face.
All right. Well, good for him.
So, High Rise is described as Dr. Robert Lang is the newest resident of a luxurious apartment in a high-tech concrete skyscraper whose lofty location places him amongst the upper class. Life seems like paradise, but as power outages become more frequent and building flaws emerge, particularly on the lower floors, the regimented social strata begins to crumble and the building becomes a battlefield in a literal class war.
Sounds like it could be shockingly obvious.
I saw Wheatley's previous movie, A Field in England, which was really out there. Black and white movie, what are they called? Tableaus in them, where all of a sudden the movie was just a tableau for a few seconds.
Yeah.
And I actually have not seen Sightseers or Kill List. But Wheatley has proved to be a very divisive filmmaker. Some people hate his stuff, and some people really like it. And I went into this movie only having really seen one of his most I would probably say his, from what I can hear, his most difficult movie, just a straight up art house trip out. And so I was expecting this movie to be a little bit more like that. But in the end, I thought this movie was okay. And I would be really interested on your guys' takes for this movie, because so the way it's described in that synopsis I just said makes it seem like there's a more of a progression than I would have liked more.
Sounds like it would be a pretty clear progression.
Like the thing about this movie is I was so on board for the first at least 45 minutes, close to an hour, when nothing has gone wrong yet, but we're being introduced to him and all these crazy characters, and the hints of things to come, and you know that this movie is going to kind of become unhinged at some point. But it's in the transition between things just being askew and kind of going wrong to sort of going full on wild just didn't do it for me. I felt like there's these power outages, and in that description it says like increasing power outages, but it's like there's one or two, and then they're like the people on the lower levels, which are like the lower class, are like, we can't deal with the power. We can't even boil water and all this stuff. And it all happens so like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like it'd be an inconvenience for a while. But this movie, for a movie that's near 2 hours, it just, the things that I thought it would spend time on plot wise, it wasn't spending time on. But that said, there is a lot of fucking cool, interesting, thought-provoking shit going on here. It's just also alongside, like, too much boring stuff and too much uneven, not really driving the plot anywhere stuff. And then also, as Casey said, some really obvious heavy halo. Okay, like, the upper-class people all, like, dress in like Victorian like kind of garb, and it's sort of like, oh, you know, because they're the upper class, and they invite him to a party, and he shows up like a madman, like in like a suit decked out with like a bottle of wine and his cigars or whatever, and they laugh him out of the party because he's so like he thinks he's classy in his suit.
What a maroon!
Yeah, and some of that stuff is a little like, all right, Wheatley,
I'm trying to get that to stick this episode. Yeah, I'm enjoying myself. Oh, it's pretty good.
Or maybe some of that stuff is not so much all right, Wheatley. It's all right, J.G. Ballard, the writer of the original from the 70s or whatever that book was written.
Right.
Like there's a lot of stuff going on here that I thought was really cool. It's fucking gorgeous. The soundtrack is phenomenal.
Anyone notable do the soundtrack?
Well, Portishead does an amazing cover of an ABBA song, SOS, that is just like great.
Please tell me it's not, because that's like a fun bubblegum pop song. Please tell me it's not one of those stark versions.
It is, but it's great. It's really good.
I don't get Portishead. It doesn't
feel like that kind of. It didn't feel like to me like that. It was, oh, we just put this here. It felt right for the movie.
Yeah, I guess I could see that contextually.
Yeah,
it could be.
But I don't know who did the soundtrack, but it's got like a really cool soundtrack. That kind of synthy thing going on, and yeah, like there's a lot of really striking stuff. The photography is fantastic. Tom Hiddleston's great. Sienna Miller's amazing. Jeremy Irons is fantastic. And there's some really funny parts. Like it has like some really funny sort of humor and British really dry stuff, like stuff that it's not smack you over the head funny. But I just left thinking like, all right, there was stuff in there that I loved and a lot of stuff I didn't. And I really don't know how to parse through it. And I don't know if that was the point. Like, it seems like that's part of the movie. Like, the movie is so anarchic and, like, crazy in moments that it's almost designed that way, much like the building. And, I wanted it to be more of the movie, I guess, I wanted it to be, like you said earlier. I was sitting there being like, you should have done it differently. But it's definitely worth looking into, if not just only for the production design. It's gorgeously lensed.
I definitely wanted to see it. When I saw the trailer for it, I was like, I'm fucking in.
I want to know what you guys think. I feel like there's a point in this movie where you expect a movie like this to get more interesting the crazier things get.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the exact opposite for me. Yeah, and I was very confused because that's usually, usually when the movie gets wilder or more arty or more weird and violent and stuff, you think, oh, this is now it's getting interesting. But for me, it was just being introduced to the space and all the characters was when I was really digging it. So I'd like to know what people think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Most, more than anything else, I want to know, Greg, you saw a movie this week.
Yeah.
You saw Warcraft.
You saw a Duncan Jones movie.
I did.
Who has
a Duncan Jones film.
A Duncan Jones joint.
Yeah, which I hear is a spiritual successor to Moon.
Duncan Jones, he did Moon, Source Code.
Yeah.
And has kind of made these very interesting movies that all have kind of little twists and are sort of genre fair done with a cool little eye.
Yeah.
And
speaking of Moon, sorry to just cut it. Do you guys hear that they're making more of those?
No.
Like I feel like somebody said that they've got like two sequels that,
really?
That are in the mix.
Is he making them?
Weird. Yeah, I suppose.
That'd be cool.
Hmm. Anywho.
I love that.
Yeah,
love
so
that
Duncan
movie.
Duncan Jones, Warcraft 2016, Two Worlds, One Home. The peaceful realm of Azeroth stands on the brink of war as its civilization faces a fearsome race of invaders, orc warriors fleeing their dying home to colonize another. From opposing sides, two heroes set on a collision course that will decide the fate of their family, their people, and their home. This movie did not great here, but did bananas box office in China.
Mm-hmm.
And which I listened to the most recent episode of Mamo, and they poised the question if maybe that was the intent all along. Is this movie... They hadn't seen it at the time, but is this movie designed for that audience instead of North America?
A lot of these things are, or they'll add a lot of flair to our action films to try and appeal to an overseas audience. I don't know. I mean, this is the newest film in a long tradition of very successful, well-made films based on video games.
Totally.
Which there's a surprisingly long list.
Yeah.
Even more shocking and how bad it is.
Yeah.
I was just looking at a list of video games turned into films.
Yeah.
And it's, we all know there aren't any good
ones. I was
ones.
Looking at that, and on the Wikipedia, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, it has movies that have video games involved in the plot.
Yeah.
And a lot of those.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, yeah. But there are some good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some good.
Some good.
Is there, even if there was one, it would be so many more than the based on fair. It's hard. It's really hard. And I'm not sure what it roots from. Like with Super Mario Brothers, it isn't the game at all. Many things named the same things and a lot of craziness. And then you have something like Silent Hill and Resident Evil, which are all very direct, but the story isn't super compelling in those games. It's
those,
the way you interact with it when you're playing it, and you're trying to
those two
think
movies
your way through it.
Maybe even arguably
probably the best.
Some of the more successful, because at least elements of them work.
Yeah,
like the first Resident Evil, it's pretty fun, stupid.
He's really
like,
stupid,
but it's
and
watchable.
It looks like dog shit.
And Silent Hill, like
go back, dog shit.
Silent Hill has some really, really bad stuff in it, but they got some of the atmosphere. Kind of successful.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just lost in translation how to get that visceral experience across to a film that you can get from a very good video game. I'm not a big gamer by any means.
Yeah.
I have had very intense relationships with some games, though. Silent Hill was one of them.
Yeah,
I went fucking bananas for that.
That game's so good.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, so Warcraft. I don't know anything about Warcraft except for those commercials from a few years ago.
Yeah.
That's all I really remember.
With the like celebrities.
Yeah,
like
the Mr.
War.
T commercial is about the only one I can really think of.
Yeah.
And so I was very disappointed to see that Mr. T wasn't in this movie.
Jamie Lee Curtis is a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
Of a lot of nerdy things, and she dressed up in cosplay for the...
Is she in this movie, or is she an idiot?
No, she just isn't. She's a huge nerd. She's a big, big fan of a lot of nerdy stuff.
Well, then I take
super
it back.
Into video
She's
games.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. Just showed up at Warcraft premiere dressed up, painted up like an orc.
Pretty good.
Pretty sweet.
So,
me too.
Now, what I gathered from those commercials was there was like, it's crazy world full of like so many different things that you could be and mixtures of other types and stuff like that. And like endless possibilities. And this movie was like, no.
Yeah.
Just these two.
Yeah, well, so the original Warcraft Here's my nerd moment. Yeah. Actually, Warcraft's 1 through 3 were orcs versus humans. And then World of Warcraft was like anything wild animals and crazy shit. And but the at least the first one or two was just like
just
pick
this?
Your side, orcs or humans.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. That makes more sense then. Anyway,
but well, so that's, I think that's Duncan Jones was trying to do right. Like, I'm going to go to the origins of the story.
Yeah. All right. Okay. well, either way. So, I mean, what this thing has to do, though, ultimately, I feel like to be successful as a
be
motion picture is be is, you know, you don't need to know anything about the game.
Yeah.
You should be able to just go to this film. But I, fundamentally, again, it's the same thing where it's like I may be interacting with this as a great time, but a story of orcs jump through space portal and to go to Earth. Well, no, it's not Earth, but anyway, where the humans are. And then they're going to take that place, so they got to fight.
Okay.
But one or there's an orc uprising, and there's the orc who's like, we shouldn't be doing this, and our orc leader's a piece of shit, and everything dies
just
when
that,
he's
that's
around.
That's like one of those recent apes movies.
Yeah, and then the human, then he's like, we got to have an alliance with the humans, and his buddy's like, oh, fuck no, and he's like, yes, and then the human, one of the humans is like, listen, higher council, we got to team up with the orcs, and they're like, oh, fuck no, and then, of course, they got to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so boring.
I don't know. So far, I really like this movie.
Oh, the fucking humans! Hey, it was a fucking
oh,
arcs.
Fuck no!
It's just, it's a lot of pretty, you know, bland characters or very familiar character types going through the motions of many things that you can see coming a mile away. There's no surprises.
Nothing even looks cool.
Is it weird?
Some of the stuff looks good.
Yeah.
Some of the action, like some of the CG stuff, I was like, that looks great.
Yeah.
But it was so touch and go with that shit. Because then I'd be like, that looks great. Nope, looks like a video game.
Yeah.
Just watching someone else play a fucking video game right now. I hate watching other people play fucking video games. And that's a lot of what it is. And it just kind of rolls along. And then you've got Ben Foster, who seems like he's grown a George Carlin beard, or like he's auditioning to play George Carlin someday. He looks like Class Clown era George Carlin. You know, like he's just got that same beard and his hair's long.
He's auditioning for Car Wash.
It's very it's bizarre. Anyway, I don't know. Nothing is particularly interesting.
Is it funny, bad, or weird? No.
And
it's not even.
There was a moment in the first like 10 minutes where I was like, I might be fucking down with this.
Yeah.
I think this might be a thing where like, I don't need the video game, but this is a movie of this time period. And like, you might be able to go back to and enjoy like watching something weird from our childhood, like fucking Dragon Slayer or something, you know, one of these kind of like oddball fantasy movies that just has its own little life and world, but it doesn't have. And it's like it takes itself very seriously, of course, but they're really trying to inject levity into it and stuff like that. And like the main character is a little bit like sassy or something, and he's not bad, but nothing goes the length it needs to. Nothing has as much excitement or laughs or thrills to be really anything more than remember another one of those fucking video game movies that didn't quite work.
Yeah.
This will be in the, I don't know, it's in the Silent Hill Resident Evil land as opposed to your Double Dragon or something like that. Yeah, when it's on fucking Netflix to have a look, but nothing about it is going to, you know, interest you or excite you or anything. It's just like, I wanted to see if they what it looked like when they did it, and this is it. This is what it looks like. And that's really as good as you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know what's bugging me, too, is the orcs. You know, they got the giant lower teeth.
Yeah.
But they talk completely.
Yeah, they talk totally. Like
that bothered me in the fucking trailer.
It's making me nuts.
Shut up, Patrick.
Like, I know you don't want half of your movie voiced by lots of people going,
no, you don't want
that. We better get the humans.
don't tell me what I want.
The humans.
I'm so sorry.
You don't find it weird that we talk, I guess.
that bugged me. And it bugged me through the entire thing. I couldn't stop looking at it and being irritated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's boring is the other thing.
Okay.
Yeah, Borecraft, am I right?
Nailed it.
Seriously.
Warborg.
It's boring.
No, you're no.
Ruined it.
Yeah. Right. I don't have anything
else to say
to offer as like a real deep thought on this or what's wrong. I mean, he wanted to, he's a fine director.
I think the discussion here is like post-Warcraft is, was this just, you know, he was it a passion project for him? He loves the games. He wanted to do like this big movie. He doesn't strike me as the kind of director who really wants to do, I'm going to just do blockbusters. I'm going to do this big CGI thing. Like, is he now going to take the money from Warcraft and be like, now I'll make
something,
five weird movies?
Fucking great. Maybe that's why he's got Moon sequels lined up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just... it's so frustrating. I think, I mean, I just, I don't care for massive amounts of CGI in a movie because I just can't get into it, man. I can't buy it because I always know I'm looking at fucking cartoons. And I like cartoons on their own, or, you know, it's fine. Or, you know, a good old Roger Rabbit mix it up. Fine. It's good. But this, it's just, nothing is thrilling about it.
Yeah.
I would rather see a poorly done dude in a big suit running around fighting some sassy human than this. You know,
at what point does it become? Because I just
it's so rare that a bunch of CGI action is fascinating to look at.
Does it have to be all CGI for it to be?
Maybe
because I was thinking,
but, I mean, this is. It's not like they went and fucking had massive shoots in like forestry and
because
shit. Like
I was
that.
Just
I'm
thinking,
sure they green screen the fuck out of this.
Because I was,
and so the environment doesn't land. Nothing.
Yeah.
It really feels like you're watching a video game.
I really like that Tintin movie.
Yeah, I like that
quite a
bit. I love
that movie. It is just an action adventure.
It's all going to be animated.
It's an animated
film.
So
you're watching for how good the animation is.
For sure.
Not how seamlessly it blends in with
reality. No, I'm supposed to be looking at this and taking it as reality. You know, these are real physical things out there, and I don't buy it. It never looks right. As soon as something starts to run or move fast or try and punch something, fucking CGI, it has the same non-descript look to it that just doesn't fit or isn't memorable, you know?
Yeah.
It just so rarely works.
Mm, that's a bummer.
It is a bummer. Well, good for him for getting lots of money.
Yeah. hopefully, he turns around and just uses
that
money.
Give me
on a
something
bunch of
that
stuff.
Doesn't suck now.
It seems like this is the type of thing that's directed by committee anyway. They just need to have a name in the chair.
Yeah.
And if it makes him a shit ton of money, then all the better.
Great.
Well, speaking of boring and bad, I made you guys listen to an album by Good Charlotte from 2002, The Young and the Hopeless. This is their second album. Their first album did not do very well. They were almost dropped by their label, but they did. Instead, they made this album, which was a big hit for them.
Enormous.
Came out at just the right time when, you know, some good bands got on the radio in like the sort of post grunge area. Like you had your Green Days with Dookie and stuff, and all of a sudden every band was a pop band basically, but we got an attitude a little, so we'll be a punk band. And this album spawned some singles, Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous, The Anthem, Girls and Boys, all crossed over into modern rock radio and pop radio.
This was everywhere.
When I was in I was in late high school when this was coming out, and I just remember being like, fuck, those guys aren't punks. Like, this is fucking fake punk. Like,
yes.
Especially
that's
with that music
so
video that
which
I
one?
Sent you guys. Like,
of the rich and the
where they're like, we're in jail and we're punks. And I'm like, no, you're not.
That is the most inexplicable video because a lot of this I listened to on YouTube. So I saw that video.
Yeah.
That video is the most inexplicable because it takes. It has cameos from famous people. Kyle Gass is in it.
Hmm.
It's like, why is Kyle Gass from Tenacious D in this shithole video? But maybe they gave him some money. It had one of the NSYNC guys, like the guy you don't even ever remember his name. It's like, why is that guy in it? And then Mike Watt.
Yeah.
Mike Watt
really
is in the video for a Good Charlotte video.
Oh, yeah. Gross.
My head exploded at that point.
Yeah. I was mad that you gave us this, Dan Gorman.
I know.
For many, many reasons. But one of them is like...
because we had to listen to it.
Yeah, but like less than a month ago, I researched the shit out of Good Charlotte, trying to figure out which album was the right one to give you guys.
Yeah.
But I held off on it because I was doing the fucking
this
adult
has been
contemporary
on my
jerk.
List forever.
Yeah, no, for ages. And I was like, I was going back and forth between this album because of all the big dumb fucking songs
or
on
the
it.
The debut?
No, the later one. I think
that makes me want to punch.
Oh, it's so gross. They had their like, we're a serious band now. Take us seriously album. like near the like one of their second last album or something like that. Apparently, is just fucking terrible.
And it's funny because the only thing I listened to off this album before I gave it to you. Oh well, I guess I listened to Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. But I put the album on and it starts with like a 2 minute like. Little instrumental like we're a serious band now, and I was like, oh man, I don't need to listen to the rest of this to give this to them. It's got this orchestrated like Danny Elfman intro.
The funny thing about that is listening to this album, I'm like, I don't understand what differentiates this from any of the other pop punk that Dan Corman listens to. Like, if I was to listen to this album, I would have been like, yep, this is definitely an album that Dan Corman likes.
Yeah, what the difference is between these guys and the other ones is these guys have, like, this horrible, fake hip-hop swagger injected into it.
But didn't all of those quote-unquote punk bands at this time have that?
No.
Well, maybe a lot of the bands of this time that were super on the radio and stuff.
Maybe.
I feel like Travis Barker, the guy from...
Yeah, he kind of had that going.
Drummer?
Yeah, I feel like he just got
he had
in there
a bit
and
of
affected
that, like,
the waters.
Like, yeah. He had a bit of that kind of... I know what you mean.
You know, like he drummed for a bunch of bands like that where...
Aquabats.
Sure.
Yeah. Just a bunch of... Bullshit.
But,
yeah.
All right. So anyway, this album is terrible.
Yeah.
And really difficult to get through.
I didn't. That's the difference. I didn't find it difficult to listen to. I didn't find it difficult to get through because I was like, I don't understand what differentiates this from any of the rest of it. This sounds like a Green Day album.
Oh, my
this
God.
Where Green Day might have been a little more clever here or there in their lyrics and a little tiny bit more clever. But everything else, it's all so elemental. It's
if you're
all
talking
so basic,
about American Idiot,
clearly
era
this
Green
chord
Day.
Is going to go to this
not,
chord.
There's not that
no,
big of a
I would
divide,
much rather listen to some Green Day.
But if you put on Dookie and then you put on this, it's like, nah, there's a huge divide.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in production, but other than that, it's all just the same construction. And like Blink 182, it's all the same lazy songwriting. So I don't understand what.
You're right. The sound of it is all the same, but there's this. I think there's this weird like arrogance or something that comes from Good Charlotte.
I feel like I know what you mean.
That makes me dislike them more than all the others because I don't like any of it. I fucking can't stand pop punk. I think it's just the fucking worst. I can't stand Blink 182, but it doesn't enrage me like Good Charlotte does. I can't stand Simple Plan, but it doesn't quite enrage me.
See, I would say Simple Plan is more along these lines.
It's closer
it
to this.
That, like, I know, I don't know how to explain it, but I know what you mean by that.
You know
sort
what I'm saying?
Of, like,
and I get what you're saying too. But I feel like it's always had that. I feel like again, Green Day had that too. Like where there's like this like. This prefabricated what punk is kind of
no,
like...
but I think Green Day got it. Like I think they got it later.
Look, I owned a Green Day album or two. I think the early ones, and then I started to go, oh, all right, well, this isn't very good. But I never found them to be authentic. I feel like it's just this prefabricated authenticity that everybody's just okay with. And I don't hear how that's different on a Good Charlotte record as opposed to,
Charlotte,
like Operation Ivy and all that kind of shit. Sounds like the same shit to me.
But Good Charlotte are a
Operation
band.
Operation Ivy?
They don't sound anything like this.
Yeah, it's all the same shit.
But Green Day didn't like... Like Good Charlotte,
Rancid
all...
is that the band? Sorry, that,
Rancid is the.
That's the same thing, right?
No,
as Operation Ivy.
Well, some of the
closer
a
to
couple
because
of the
some
members
of the same
are
members,
the same.
Yeah,
that all sounds the same.
But Good Charlotte formed and like all of a sudden had a full length out on like Capitol Records in 2000, and were like already a band. Like to me, that's like these guys were so close to being prefabricated that they got a major label deal as soon as they started. Right. But yeah. At least Green Day, like, okay, they played around, and then like they got a shitty little album out on Lookout Records,
yeah,
and then they had a bunch of like, and then Kerplunk kind of got them a bit.
The end result is there's a shit ton of pop music that's really great and really fun to listen to that's all very prefabricated. So where they came from and how they started, I think, is inconsequential to when you're ultimately listening to the album. The end result,
but how
they
can
got
something
there,
be prefabricated then? I think it's just the word prefabricated that I guess I... Because if they weren't, like, created by the label to make these shitty pop songs, then...
But I mean this prefabricated authenticity where they're, like... I don't mean the authenticity of where they came from. I mean sort of more punk credibility, what punk credibility is and how you attain it.
But I think
being a band that played
at Gilman Street, like down with like the trenches with all the other bands, gives them more authenticity.
It gives them a certain credibility, but it doesn't make the music any more listenable or any more thoughtfully made.
That's debatable, I feel like. That's where the debate can
I suppose. It just doesn't mean going... If you're both doing that, you're both doing a lazy, shitty thing. It's just one of you is doing it under the pretext that you're somehow real.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. That's just where I come from.
I hated this album.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
This album is a pile of shit.
But I didn't find it hard to listen to.
This band is a pile of shit.
Yeah.
I don't like that girls and boys song. That's the one that really bugs me the
how
most.
How does that one even go? I don't
girls
even remember.
Girls don't like boys. Girls like cars and money.
Oh, I remember that. I totally forgot about that.
I forgot about it too, and it started. I'm like, you're a fucking piece of shit.
That one bothered me because, again, it's
super
just like
gross.
We're being really tongue-in-cheek right now. Like, we're going to tell. We don't really think this.
Fuck off.
Oh, man.
Jesus, fuck.
This is the anthem of all your hands up. Whoa.
That one surprised me because I thought that was Simple Plan.
Do wanna be you.
Gross.
You. Don't wanna be you. I don't know why I sing it way more British than it actually is.
Yeah.
Don't wanna be you.
So it's fucking garbage.
Well, I'm glad you guys listened to it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
all right.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I lost.
You lost Warcraft and Good Charlotte.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I was mad.
Yeah.
I was confused.
Yeah.
Hurt.
Yeah. You know? And I was like, and I'm, you know, and Casey over here, like, I don't feel like he felt the rage like I did. Like, you know, you don't get
what
me,
about,
man.
About Good Charlotte?
Yeah. And so I want you guys to feel like...
Look, I'm mad at my dad. Don't, like...
Good. Are you mad at your dad? I want you to feel mad at your dad and mad at the world. And, like, nobody gets you, man. Because I would really like you guys to listen to Linkin Park Hybrid Theory.
Oh, I was just... I looked up Linkin Park recently, too.
This is the music that where Good Charlotte can just slip under the radar of mediocrity, this is the music that really makes me angry. Because this is that arrogance of like we're mixing fucking like bargain basement, you know, metal with bargain basement rap.
And
when you put those two things together, that makes them both okay.
Yeah. I was never into Linkin Park.
No,
I never liked them. But
don't like terrible rapping and a guy screaming about sadness.
Oh, and I hate that fucking the guy who sings
so far. You came so close. Never even mattered, though.
The thing about the guy who sang... Oh, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Chester?
Chester.
Look at Chester.
It's a subway station, not a guy.
Chester, honey, put on your studded collar. You got a show tonight.
A show. I looked up the Collision Course album, and that's on my list of things to give you.
What's
where
Collision
they
Course?
Did an album
with Jay-Z. Oh,
with Jay-Z? And it got good reviews at the time. And I thought, there's no way this is good.
No.
I feel like after it came out, like shortly after, everyone, like Jay-Z and Linkin Park, were both like, yeah, we didn't like working with each other.
Yeah. Enjoy that.
Damn it.
I had to divert from all the... I have all these plans on, like, I was just trying to stick the themes with my Punishment albums, but I was so... put off by Good Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what sucks just as much from this time period?
Yeah.
What, like, really fucking got under my skin when it was big? This.
Amazing.
I want you to have a great time.
Well,
yeah, this is lame as shit, and I fucking hate Linkin Park. You know what's weird? Jensen Karp has a new single out.
Oh, you bastard. You're everybody's naming things that are on my list.
Well, the Linkin Park guy is on one of his songs.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Hot Carl's on my list of things to give people.
Yeah, I was, yeah, but I
almost gave
to
you guys it last week.
I love Jensen Karp.
All right, well, we got to roll. And we're going to roll again for...
Hey, we're rolling on the Graduate soundtrack.
Rolling on the soundtrack for the Graduate. Paul Simon and... Paul Simon and Simon Garfunkel.
I saw a great tweet about Simon and Garfunkel that said that it's not fair because Paul Simon gets all the first names and Art Garfunkel just gets a bunch of sounds.
Yeah. Paul Simon and Simon and Garfunkel. Speaking of, Paul Simon has a new album out. I almost gave you guys that,
apparently
too.
It's quite good.
It's very good. Huh. I liked it a lot. So we're rolling on the Graduate soundtrack, and we are rolling for a Winner's Choice week again.
Uh-huh.
There's just a lot of stuff out there that we can get to.
Yeah, and but nothing's like, hey, this is the big movie this week.
Central Intelligence opens up this week. Might be a lark, but
maybe.
Not a winner.
Oh, yeah.
If it gets great reviews, we could always do it next week or another week. Not next week, Independence Day. But, you know, we can get to it. And then Loser.
Yeah.
We had to go with the sequel to something that we've watched.
I've watched.
Yeah, you watched. Did you end up watching it, Casey?
No, I have no idea why I would ever even accidentally watch that movie.
Now You See Me.
Two.
Now You Two See Me.
Yeah.
Why didn't they name it Two, T-O-O?
I don't know.
Now You See Me Two.
Or why didn't Now You Don't.
Why didn't they call it Now Two See Me?
Yeah. Because they're like, Now You See Me Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm also here.
To see to me.
That movie fucking sucked ass. Now You See Me? Garbage. Because I was just talking about how crappy CGI is in overabundance.
Yeah.
And all the magic that happens
CGI
in these
shit.
Movies is just CGI.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fucking interesting.
No.
That's not interesting at all.
It's also not magic.
Yeah.
Oh, Casey, magic's like, not what real if you, either,
what
though.
If, what? What if The Hustler or The Color of Money had all CGI pool play, you know? Like, no one would give a fuck about that. That's terrible. So stupid. And then the end was just like, it was this guy.
Yeah, I love that.
Eat shit. anyway, so I'm sure the sequel is wonderful.
Yeah. So, Casey, you want to roll first this time?
Okay.
All right. That's a four.
That's
Greg,
a
you roll.
Four.
I'll go last. It's been a while.
All right.
Greg has rolled a nine.
Ooh, shit.
Four versus nine.
I'm not seeing the sequel.
I'm rolling. That's a two.
Whoa.
Now you see me too.
I see me you too. I see you too.
Now you see. Now you see me too. Too.
Now you two see me. Now you two see me too.
Fuck you two see now you see me. See now you see me too.
I feel like I somehow jinxed myself because earlier this week I noticed on Netflix that Behind the Magician thing went up. Have you guys seen that? Do you remember that show that was like on Fox?
Oh,
we're going to get the world's top magician, and he's going to show you all of his things, but he's got to be masked.
Right.
Or else he'll be thrown out of the magic club.
The guy who ruins all the fun.
Yeah. And I watched some of it.
You did use yourself. Because now you're going to know how they did it.
Yeah. And it was all just like, the assistant woman did the trick. Well, he was like pretending like he was doing the trick.
Uh-huh.
It's so disappointing. It's like,
No,
it's
a big
they
bummer.
Are the talented ones, and he's just a douchebag. Like, look at them crawl into the like tiny compartment that is like separates them and a tiger. And the guy outside is like, I'm making her disappear.
Well, listen, the magic in these movies is even worse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now two I will see, now you see
me
too.
Wait, is the trick she crawls into a compartment and gets eaten by a tiger?
No, the trick is like she's...
Ta-da!
Yeah.
I made her disappear.
Ta-da! No, she's like in a cage, there's like always a little thing and they crawl into like the little under thing and then they let the tiger out and then it's like, where'd they go? Yeah, they're just hiding
magic.
Somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you know, magic.
Magic.
Tires and whatnot.
That's right.
Yeah, speaking of magic.
Yes.
There is no magic in the OC, and it is now time for the second episode of the second freshly squeezed episode of Orange You Glad. It's the OC.
Greg's going to squeeze us.
I'm pretty happy with that. That was definitely the one. Yeah. Orange You Glad.
I had you. Orange You Glad is the OC, but we'll work in freshly squeezed every week.
Orange You Glad, I didn't say 90210.
It is
Matt
time.
Matt Bann really came through with the fucking
thank
suggestion.
You for the name,
this guy
Matt.
Gets to name all of our shit.
Very good.
Casey's going to freshly squeeze a talk out of... Oh, no, Greg is. Greg is going to freshly squeeze.
I did
squeeze
my time, man.
His recap on episode two.
My notes aren't... I didn't do them like I do my 90210 notes, primarily because I was at work much longer... much more this week and longer than I expected, so I couldn't really pause it. I had to burn through the hour, and so I just quickly wrote notes. And so I'm going
to
try
a good way to do it.
Roll through this thing with you guys.
The episode's called "The Model Home."
The Model Home.
I've got like a one sentence recap here. Do we want that, or do you want to just dive into it? What do you think?
I think I'll cover all the bases.
Okay.
If we're confused, we'll go back to the synopsis and see what I was talking about.
That adds an air of mystery.
All right. So Seth, who is Adam Brody.
Yes.
Okay. And Ryan, who's your dirtbag Casey.
Yes.
He's
I don't know
dirtbag.
That actor's name yet. Little Russell Crowe.
Doesn't matter. Little Russell Crowe.
Seth and Ryan, because Ryan is living with Seth's rich house family in the house with the eyebrows, Peter Gallagher, and his wife.
The house that eyebrows built.
He's staying there with them because his family's a pile of shit and he broods a lot.
Yeah.
He does a lot of like leaning against windows with an arm above his head. You know what I mean? Like leaning. On Or like turning away after he says something like, darkness.
I thought you were going to say Dark Man.
Yeah.
Dark Man.
So good.
In theaters.
Totally killed that guy at the end.
Yeah.
What a move.
Not even by accident. So great. Seth and Ryan are in the pool being a couple of bros because they were in a fight together, so they're buds now.
Yeah.
And then Peter Gallagher and his wife, I haven't caught her name yet, they're in the kitchen talking about what to do with Ryan. And he's like, he's a good kid. It'll be good. And she's like, not in my house. And he's like, oh, all right. I'll send him off to a group home or whatever. Yeah. I'll call social services.
This is the second time they're kicking him out of their house.
I know. And so in the pool, Ryan and Seth are like, what to do? You're going to be leaving. Let's do a special thing. And they don't know what to do. And then he comes inside and has like an awkward chat with the mom.
Okay.
And then that leads to having awkward dinner with the family. But then they make some jokes, and, you know, these guys all like each other.
Yeah.
This is great. Oh, Rich. And then the next morning, or maybe it's later that night, I don't really remember, and my notes don't indicate. Peter Gallagher and his wife are filling out the paperwork for child service so they can finally get rid of little Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Send him off
I
to
really
old
enjoy LRC. Home.
LRC. Little Russell Crowe.
Seth really wants him to stay. He's like, this guy's terrific.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep him. Can I keep him, Mom?
I always thought that the OC was
my very own dirtbag.
I always thought the OC was more about Seth.
Because he's the one they really tried
he's
to.
He's the one I remember more. Like Adam Brody. I just feel like I remember him more than this broody LRC.
Yeah. Well,
maybe
he's had
they shift focus when.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Because you know how, like, what's his nuts there? Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
You had Dawson and Pacey.
Yeah.
And as the thing went along, Pacey became far more popular.
Maybe that was what's going on.
And then
here.
His career after the show was over was much bigger than Vanderbeek.
Yeah, okay.
So I feel like the same kind of thing here. Although little Russell Crowe has done well on television.
Yeah.
And now he's on that Gotham show, which sucks ass. So he has that going for him.
Yeah.
All right. So Seth wants him to stay and keep. He wants to keep little dirty Ryan.
We could just make up nicknames and not actually talk about the show.
little dirty Ryan. Little Russell Crowe, little dirty Russell.
LDR. An LRC.
El Diablo. Oh, so, little Russell. Little dirty Russell.
Later that night, Dirty Ryan's tossing and turning in bed. He can't sleep. So he gets up and he's like, fuck this, man, I'm out of here.
Oh.
And he gets his shit together and he's trying to sneak out. He's going to run away.
You can't kick me out. I'm out of here.
That's right.
Yeah.
But Seth catches him and they have a, like a chat. And he's like, well, can you think of anything better than just, I'm just going to run away, man. I'm going to just figure it out unless you can think of something better. And Seth's like, actually, I can.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything better, but like, I got some nicknames for you.
This is still Dirty Ryan.
Good thing I totally wasn't just standing outside of your door here in the middle of the night. Yeah. I was walking down the hallway.
So Seth, then we cut to Seth in his bedroom and he's wearing like a black turtleneck for sneaking and he's yeah. doing some stuff and he's running and then his dad's going to come in. So he jumps into bed pretending he was asleep. And dad comes in to talk about Ryan.
Dad
and Seth's
comes
like,
in
what?
Like,
oh, sleeping, dad.
I'm wearing my sleeping turtleneck.
Yeah.
My sleeping turtleneck.
Ryan, who? I don't even care. Boo, good night.
Little dirty who? Oh, I'm tired.
Then we cut to Ryan outside. He's waiting for Seth. And then Marissa rolls up. Misha Barton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She lives next door. And last time they saw each other, she was drunk and he carried her to somewhere.
Okay. That's right.
For sleep.
Yeah.
Just for sleep.
Just for sleep. And she's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, oh. And he's like, how are you? And she's like, I just want to say thanks. He's like, do you always drink like that? And she's like, I don't know.
I don't remember usually.
She's compelling.
I don't know how she knows what happened.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, and then Seth comes out, and she's like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, nothing. And she's like, you're doing something, and I'm going to come with you. And they're like, okay, because she has a car.
Yeah.
And Seth only has a skateboard. So they drive with her, because we're going to see what Seth's big plan is.
Were they going to double on the skateboard?
Yeah.
Get on my shoulders.
They're riding in her car, and she plays some song. I don't know what it was. We'll find out later. When
I know what it was.
Thing.
I just looked up the song.
And she's like, do you like this? And then the little dirty Ryan's like,
little dirty Ryan.
He's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't listen to music. And they're like, that's weird. And he's like, what do you listen to? And she's like, I like punk. And I'm like, ugh.
Like Good Charlotte.
Yeah. And they're like, what? And she's like, yeah, like the Cramps and the Clash and stiff little fingers. And and I'm just like, God, you like the way, even the way. She couldn't say them with any kind of, like, she's never heard of these bands
before.
I
like the Cramps and the Clash.
Yeah, and it was just such a lame little list. Like, I think if you were to wiki punk rock, there's, like, probably the first five names that popped up on there. Nothing wrong with any of these bands. I've owned albums by all of them, but whatever. It just felt so, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. And they're all like, well, isn't that interesting? And Seth is all like, ugh. So Marissa and I listen to the same kind of music.
Why is Seth so upset about this?
Because he lives next to her.
Why is
she's
Seth
like
Boston
a good-looking lady, and he's a nerd. She's never acknowledged him. He just likes to think of her like she's a dum-dum.
Okay.
But instead, she listens to the same music as him, and he's like, what a maroon I am.
Yeah. Word of the show.
Yes, sir.
Now they're high schoolers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, then I could conceivably assume that these high schoolers are just like into the most basic of punk. But if it came off weird, then it came off weird.
It can't. Yeah. It felt fake and like just. Yeah. It was lacking any kind of, you know,
realness.
Yeah. It just felt gross.
Yeah. On a show with the soundtrack that doesn't have any, like...
Nothing like that, yeah.
It's all just whatever's popular.
Yeah, it's not like this fucking show's going to wrap up with Human Fly by the Cramps.
Yeah.
Anyway, where are we here? So, punk stuff. Then they arrive at the model home that Seth's mom... has made. She's like an architect or a real estate agent. I don't really know which one.
I'm pretty sure it probably doesn't matter.
And the contractors have fucking bailed out, and so there's this like kind of half done model home, and that's where
and the family,
that's where Little Dirty
from Arrested Development.
That's right, yeah.
Don't call it that.
So they're like, check out model home. Isn't that cool?
This is your little dirty home.
Yeah,
now.
Okay, so he's going to live there.
Yeah, he's going to live in a model home.
You can dirt this joint up.
Yeah, that's right.
Little dirty Russell Crowe.
And so they're hanging out in the model home.
Yeah.
And it has an empty swimming pool in the back. So,
so we can Seth skateboards
in the skateboarding.
Pool. Yes.
And while he skateboards in the pool, Dirty Ryan and Marissa sit around and they're like, my dad's a piece of shit. He's like, my mom sucks. Parents.
Right.
Yeah, so
now
that's
when
going on.
Seth skates in it, is it like a double or is it him just kind of like rolling around?
Literally
the bottom?
Just like he might as well be a cardboard cutout on wheels.
Zing, zing, zing. I'm a skateboarder.
Yeah. So then Marissa's bro boyfriend calls, Luke. And he's like, you should come to this party. And she's like, ah. And we're all here partying. It's summer's party. And she's like, hey.
She had the last party,
I know.
Didn't she?
Yeah,
ugh,
yeah.
What a party hog.
She's yeah.
Good hogging all the parties, party hog.
So then they get off the phone, and Ryan's like, so how long you been with him? And she's like,
that's a reasonable response.
Nobody knows how to respond to anything in this show.
And it's like, yeah. So they explore more of the unfinished model home. Summer now calls Marissa, and she's like, why don't you have my party? Summer is wearing a tiara at her party.
Okay.
I was like, you're a piece of shit, Summer.
Yeah, totally.
So then it's the next day. We got morning in the model home. Ryan wakes up and goes and leans on a window frame with his arm above his head like, huh. And then...
Eventually the show just became a series of turkey noises.
Yeah. Wait till you see the Thanksgiving episode.
It's all turkeys saying perfectly beautiful poetry. Yeah. Very good. And so yeah, he's looking out the window thoughtfully and run, you know, model home. And then Peter Gallagher is at his place and he goes looking for Ryan, but Ryan's no, he's not there.
Isn't it funny that the model home is empty?
Yeah.
Oh man. Just like life.
Yeah.
Like a rat in a cage.
Oh man. And he's like, no, Ryan, what? And then, Marissa is
like a,
at home.
Charlotte in a cage.
Okay, yeah. So he's like, where's Ryan? He goes and talks to Seth, and Seth's like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Ryan who?
I gotta go get my turtle back.
So, Ryan, Seth and...
My neck is cold.
Seth and Marissa are, like, they're gonna meet up to go see Ryan at the model home.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll meet you out front. She's like, yeah, great. And then she's...
We got a mission.
She goes downstairs to leave. She goes downstairs to leave, and her mom's like, oh, Marissa, look who's here. And it's Luke, her boyfriend. He's eating breakfast there, like just eating
Luke
food.
Who's here. Yeah. Get it? That's
just nice. Luke who's eating some breakfast. It's Luke.
He's having turkey.
And he wants to take her out on the boat. And she's like, oh.
You love it.
Yeah, I was just going to say. And then Frank Zappa shows up.
It's a way of life. Of course, I'll introduce you to Warren. Very good. Where are we here? And she's like, no, I got to do these things. She's like, hey, see you later. She's like,
yeah.
And then now, so Peter Gallagher's wife has called the cops about missing Dirty Ryan.
Ugh.
And so the cops are there and they question Seth.
She just calls the cops and goes, I miss Dirty Ryan.
Maybe I should have let him stay.
I'll talk
to you. Be out there dirting up the city. dirting up a storm.
So they want to talk to Seth, and he's like,
no idea.
No.
And then they don't want to talk to Seth anymore.
And then we go over and see Tate Donovan stressing out about his crazy money problems.
Yeah.
Man, there's not much going on there. Just to remind you that he's on this show, and that's his storyline.
Yeah.
Seth and Marissa go to see Ryan, and they bring him a bunch of household items, but they forget to bring food, and they're like, oh, no. Well, she made him a mix CD.
Ooh, which, baby.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so they go looking for food. Seth on a skateboard, and Dirty Ryan and Marissa are giggling on a bike they're sharing together. pedal, pedal, pedal.
Just giggling on a bike.
Yeah, pretty much. Peter Gallagher and his wife are very worried about Ryan. Then the phone rings, and Tate Donovan is calling Peter Gallagher's wife because they're like buds, right?
Yeah, they used to have a thing.
Yeah.
A sex thing.
Yeah. They used to have his thing inside her thing.
Sex. There you go. We made it.
We got there.
The end. So he calls and he's like, hey, free for lunch? And she's like, yo. And then Seth and Marissa and Dirty Ryan are hanging out, and something comes up about he's just going to roam the, go to town to town, getting a, stopping a pancake.
Listen, sorry. So far this sentence is excellent.
He wants to eat pancakes across the country, and she's like, oh, like on the road. And he's like, you've read On the Road? This is Seth. You've read On the Road? And she's like, yeah, it is my favorite book. And he's like, it's my favorite book, too.
Yes, of course I've read a book.
And then boyfriend Luke and his bros show up at the restaurant they're sitting in. And they obviously don't like these two guys. There's a big fight on the beach.
Yeah.
Welcome to the OC, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch. What did they say to Adam Brody in your episode?
You mean when they beat him up?
Yeah.
Well, they
said something. You're like, whoa, this is not 90210. Anyway.
Suck it, queer.
Right. Okay. Well,
they said, suck it, queer.
They see them, of course, and Adam Brody says something, and Luke bro dude gets up and he goes, "Shut up, queer." I was like, oh my god, this show.
Yeah, like I feel like it was trying to be edgy, like you know, it's obviously like the shitty characters who are calling everybody queer, so it's okay.
Yep, and then Dirty Ryan steps in. He's like, "Hey, hi, bro." and he's like, "Whoa, it's this guy. Look at this guy, poor guy, or whatever."
Ooh.
And then and Dirty Ryan's like, "You know what I? Yeah, what does he say? You know what I like about rich kids?" And then he punches him in the face and goes, "Nothing."
Oh, yeah.
And
I thought he was going to say,
fight and they
the
run.
Older I get, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Oh, my God. They go back to the model home and hang out.
Sweet.
Then, at the model home, Mom and Tate Donovan show up. So Tate Donovan is Marissa's dad.
Yes.
And Mom is Adam Brody's mom.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so they show up at the model home. And they kind of talk about when they were dating and stuff.
Yeah.
It's all very shibby to do. And he's like, "I'm really fucked with money." And she's like, "I will lend you the money." And he's like, "No." And she's like, "Let me lend you the money." He's like, "It's like $100,000. You can't possibly lend me that." And she's like, "I would like to." He's like, "I'll totally pay you back."
No, you can't. $100,000, please.
Yeah. Kids hear it all, of course. And then on their way out, they're like, conveniently state loudly, "Also, the new contractors are coming tomorrow." For the kids hiding upstairs who need to know that. So they hear that and they're like, "New contract, oh my gosh." So then Peter Gallagher finds out that there's somebody matching Ryan's description was in a fight in a restaurant. He's like, "Run somewhere near. Gotta go find him." Marissa parties with Summer and then the gang and her boyfriend and Luke, and they're all making fun of Dirty Ryan, and she's like, "You don't even know him," and leaves.
Yikes.
So she bails and she goes running to find Ryan at the model home. And she's like, "You're going to leave tomorrow." and we never, but what if we never, and he's like, you gotta go, otherwise I might stay. And she's like, what, would that be so bad? He's like, we're from different worlds. Turns around fast.
Like a Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, it's not going to work. Just go.
Just like if Romeo and Juliet were turkeys.
Oh, boy.
So what happens?
He's like, go. And she's like, and she leaves. But Luke and his gang see her leave that place and then see him look out and they're like, there he is.
Let's go. Let's get him.
Go. So Seth and his dad, Peter Gallagher, drive around looking for Ryan and talk about things. I don't really remember. Then Luke and the gang, they go inside the model home. They're like, what's up, bro? And then they start to fight, of course. But while they start to fight, they start a fire.
Oh, no.
Yes. There's a candle.
With the friction yeah. of their fighting, yeah. their punches are so fast.
Fire starts, and it's bad. And they all three of them beat up Ryan.
Oh, like,
he's just
so
unconscious.
Whole, like, house gonna
he's
get...
like lying on the ground, flames everywhere, and they run because they're like, oh no, we started a fire.
No, I thought they were all gonna work together to beat up the fire.
But fire! Then Luke, the boyfriend jerk,
yeah,
he stops and he's like, fuck. Oh, and he goes back and saves Dirty Ryan.
Okay.
Drags him outside. And then we cut to Tate Donovan. He's hanging out at home, drinking beer, watching old basketball games because he just got loaned $100,000. He's like, you know what? It was great, these old basketball games. Isn't life wonderful? He's having a wonderful time. And
how old? Like years? Like from
he's
the
70s? Watching the,
or?
No, he's watching 80s. He's watching the Detroit and L.A. Lakers final.
Classic game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said that like I'm aware of both.
That's
where they got the ball.
Two very good teams. That's Isaiah Thomas, Detroit Pistons, who would go on to win back-to-back championships in 89 and 90, I believe. And then you got your L.A. Lakers. Showtime Lakers.
Yes, I believe they called it the Rumble in the Jungle. Anyway.
Yeah, all right. Lakers won that series.
The old Hoopertown.
Right. Hoopertown, USA.
USA.
So, where are we here? Fires. Okay, so they go to look at the burnt up model home, and they're like, what the?
Yeah.
And they got to figure out what's going on. They go home, and they don't know what to do. Ryan is walking around looking like a dirt bag.
Yeah.
And a truck pulls up next to him, and it's Luke.
Oh.
Yeah. Dude bro Luke is like, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's really been thinking about it.
I love you now.
I love
I've grown
so
up
much.
In the last 2 minutes.
Why did you say that name? Ryan hops into his pickup, and he's like, you're giving me a ride. And they're like, oh, where are they going to go? And then at the house, the cops are there and stuff, and they find out about the fire, and Seth comes clean about the whole plan.
Oh.
And they're like, what are we going to do?
Well,
and then
nerd.
Pickup truck pulls up. The cops are there, too. And Seth Ryan and Luke get out, and Ryan's like, hey, it's me. So they're going to take him downtown. They got questions for you, so they handcuff him. But then Luke's like, I was there, too. And they're like, then we've got questions for you too, Luke. And they handcuff him to take him downtown.
Okay.
And Peter Gallagher's Gallagher's like, I'm his attorney. Don't say anything. You can't question without me. And then he's like,
there you go.
And he turns to Luke and he's like, and you too.
I'm all of your attorneys.
Up. Yeah, I'm
even
everyone.
You, Papas.
Look at these eyebrows. There's enough eyebrows for two kids
the other,
here.
I got a real cat and mouse thing going on here.
And so they get there, like, buck them, and they take them. And that's the end of my episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. And the music from your episode.
Yeah, what's up?
All right. The first episode.
Oh. He plays the mix CD that.
Oh, yeah?
That,
what's on
she,
there?
Rock the Casbah. Anarchy in the UK.
Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh.
And she's like, I think of you when I listen to this song.
He's like, Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Track one.
Yeah.
Beach scene, Lazin' by the Pool, California by Rufus Wainwright.
Yeah, yes.
There you go.
Oh, that's a great song.
That is a good song.
Opening titles, California Phantom Planet.
Yeah.
And then in the Jeep, Terrible Person by the band Rooney, which I remember actually.
Wait, what? Oh, I see. The scene is in the Jeep.
Yes.
That's in the Jeep, comma, terrible person.
In the Jeep's a terrible person. No, the song Terrible Person
by
plays
Principal
in the Jeep
Rooney.
By Rooney. I remember Rooney was a thing that they tried to make happen.
Oh.
Then, on a mission to go get food.
Yeah.
Caught by the River by Doves.
Uh-huh. Oh, that song sucked.
Yeah.
Didn't like that.
In Your Eyes by Aaron D. After the fight at with Luke.
Sure.
Aaron D. Never
D?
Heard. Yeah. And then a song by the Androids, Do It With Madonna. That was at the house party.
All right. Yeah.
Then Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley. And then finally, after the fight at the model home, We're Going Out Tonight by Shady Lady.
Yeah.
Best song, worst song?
Well, obviously, Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah. Probably the best cover.
Second place, Rufus Wainwright?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a terrific song. And everything
third
else
place,
was,
California? Phantom Planet?
Sure. That'll probably always be in third place.
So what are you thinking? Yeah. Rooney, Doves, Aaron D, the Androids, or Shady Lady?
I think the house party song was
really
the one that I found least appealing.
Okay, Do It With Madonna?
Yeah, I think that's the one that worked the least
by
for
the
me.
Androids. Was it just like, I want to do it with Madonna?
Yeah,
that's
kind
how
of,
I imagine
yeah.
it goes. This is the new segment. We pick best and worst. The person who sees the episode picks best and worst, and then one of the people who haven't seen it have to try and sing what one of the songs is.
Yeah.
And the Androids, I swear, it must go, I want to do it with Madonna.
Because she's a shady lady.
Lady. You got to go Lewis on the lady.
Yep.
Awesome.
This show is very dramatic.
All right.
Did you notice that your episode wasn't about anything?
Yeah, not at all.
It was just a series of things that happened to teenagers.
Yeah.
All right. My episode's called The Gamble, and I'll be talking about that next week.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I want to say that the ocmusic.co.uk is where I'm reading about the music from the episode.
Great.
And the banner says, Welcome to the OC Music ... Bitch.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
I just wanted to set you on fire for saying that.
Well, that would make you a shitty lady.
What a maroon.
Look, we've all got catchphrases, all right?
So next week, another episode, another freshly squeezed episode of Orange You Glad. It's the OC.
Yes.
Also, I believe next episode we'll get this together. Listener Jimmy listener Jimmy Kane gave us a new quiz to do.
Yes,
oh, that's
we'll do that
right.
Next week for sure.
Yeah,
which one of us was a character?
What 90210
character?
Yeah, 90210
character. So that'll be a nice throwback.
Yeah,
yeah.
We will do that quiz.
I'm 99% sure I know which one I am.
All right, well, please follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC on both. We post a lot of stuff on Facebook. Get your movie news there with a little dash of snark with us in the comments, maybe, or some of our great listeners. So keep doing that. Comment on all those things. It's wonderful. Share from our page and more. ModernSuperior.com is where you can listen to our show and all of our other podcasts on the network. You can email us at info@modernsuperior.com, as we mentioned, and thank you for the people that have done that and the people that have rate and reviewed us. Please continue to do that on iTunes. And otherwise, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet, and please don't be a shitty lady.
Shitty lady. Richard, goodbye.
This has been a presentation of the Modern Superior Media Network.
Thank you. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.